United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
In a very wrong world. At participating Shell stations, sign up free at fuelrewards.com.
Local restaurants, shops, salons, and more with savings of 50 to 90% every time. Live more, spend less. Download the mobile app now.
Now that's a real sweet deal.
SweetJack.com.
Go ahead, Swift 1-2.
Sergeant Dale Beatty was wounded by a roadside bomb.
Columnist Swift 1-2 en route with urgent ASVAC to Mercy. ETA approximately 35 minutes. How got it?
Now begins the most important journey of his life.
Roger, Swift 1-2.
From the battlefield to home. Home to some very good medicine. His family's love. They'll be staying together at one of the many Fisher houses to help Dale get better and return to his life. Fisher House Foundation provides comfortable housing and other services to the families of wounded warriors and veterans while they receive care at military and VA hospitals. Fisher House is among the highest rated charities, with 95% of donations going to help our military families in their time of greatest need. Remember those who serve and sacrifice. Consider a tax-deductible gift to Fisher House. Fisher House, because a family's love is good medicine. Go to fisherhouse.org for more information.
This time it's personal. Tune in to News Talk 600 WSOM for the local talk show that stimulates your mind and relates to you. Weekdays from noon to 3, Afternoons with Tracy and Friends engages the Valley in conversation about everything from local issues to important global topics. Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Personal talk that keeps you thinking. Weekdays from noon to 3. Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
One of the hardest things to say is, I love you. If you find it difficult to express your feelings, spend an evening with Dr. Gary Chapman, author of The Five Love Languages, on Thursday, April 25th at Powers Auditorium. Millions of couples have learned this simple way to express their feelings and bring joy back into their marriage. Dr. Chapman has helped couples all over the world gain fresh new insights into their relationships. That's Saturday, April 25th, starting at 7:30 p.m. at Stambaugh Auditorium. Tickets are $20, $35, and $45. Order yours online at youngstownsymphony.com or call 330-744-0264. Brought to you by Achievers USA, offering exclusive leadership training and seminars in Northeast Ohio. That's Dr. Gary Chapman, Thursday, April 25th at Powers Auditorium. Call 330-744-0264 or online at youngstownsymphony.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
You've heard it all before. Gold and silver prices are at record levels. And you've heard all the promises from the out-of-town companies saying they'll pay the highest prices. But can you really be sure?
Everybody says the same thing. It's spinning in everyone's head, but where do you go? You go to First Choice Coin and Boardman, paying highest prices guaranteed.
Meet Tom, owner of First Choice Coin and Jewelry in Boardman. And he'll make sure you get the highest price for your unwanted gold or silver.
We pay the highest prices guaranteed. Check around, get your prices, and we guarantee we'll be the highest prices paid for your gold and silver.
And what makes First Choice different?
We're locally owned. We have many return customers. We have a lot of people that check prices, and they end up at our store. And we also offer jewelry repair, jewelry appraisals. We have a GIA graduate gemologist on staff.
First Choice Coin and Jewelry, 7807 Market Street in Boardman, next to Boardman Nissan. Call 330-629-9990. See store for gold guarantee details.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229.
330-781-9600 or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600 here on Deaf. I believe today is the 17th of April. Time is flying by. At least the sun is shining. So I'm doing pretty good with that. It is 12 minutes after 12 o'clock on this Wednesday, and today is hump day, so Sticks and I are here in studio. Glad to have all of you today. We want to hear from you today. The number is 347-945-5229. Again, that number is 347-945-5229. We're going to talk about choice and pro-life today. And probably going to, you know, it's a conversation that we've had fairly regularly on this show. Put in a different angle of it. We're going to have some people talking about abstinence. I believe Polly's coming in, calling in from where, Sticks?
The Alliance Pregnancy Center in Alliance, Ohio.
And so there are alternatives. I want to talk about that a little bit. I want to talk about what we're teaching our young people. Dr. Childress is going to call in at...
Something doesn't sound right at all.
What doesn't sound right, Dick?
I'm getting a back feed or something.
That's your plug your headset in. As long as it sounds good in my ears, it's good.
Okay.
How does it sound in your ears now?
I'm still getting a back feed buzz.
Nope, sorry. That's your ear. That's your ears, not mine. Get a new headset. Again, we're going to be talking about that. You still getting it? No. As long as I think you'll be okay. Mine is pretty. As long as mine is pretty straight, we're straight. Sticks is having some feeding.
Technical issues.
Sticks is having some. You know what, Sticks? Turn all the headsets down and turn the mics down. You might be getting feed from other mics. Try that. How's that? Let's see, what was I saying? You're as bad as Jeff. Now you've got to change. I can't remember. My train of thought is really limited right now.
You've got too many irons in the fire.
So can you hear yourself now? Are you better now?
I can hear myself. I've got a buzzing in my ears. But I can deal with it as long as everything's working.
Everything, we're trying to tell you, if it's not buzzing in my ears,
okay,
it ain't buzzing.
All right.
If it's buzzing in your ears, you know, you just got ear buzz.
Okay.
If it's buzzing in my ears, then we have a problem.
All right.
Is that kind of rude or what?
Can you hear me?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, then. We're good.
I keep trying you, but you want to talk about headsets. So what I'm saying is, if it doesn't buzz in my ear, then it doesn't.
All right. Well, as long as we're good, we're good.
I've been trying to tell you that for the last 5 minutes.
No, it ain't been 5 minutes. It's been more like 90 seconds.
No, it's been at least 5 minutes. We've been on the air. I said 12:12, and now it's 12:15.
My watch says 12:13.
Your clock is wrong. And you got a buzz in your ear. we're going to talk about abstinence. We're going to talk about alternatives to abortion. There'll probably get some conversation in here about
Philadelphia.
No.
We need to talk about Philadelphia,
too. Why do I have to talk about Philadelphia?
Because nobody else is.
What's in Philadelphia?
That's where the abortion doctor is being prosecuted for murdering infants.
Okay, and?
Well, nobody's talking about it.
It's not new. Why is it new?
I think any time you take an infant that's moving and viable and stick a pair of scissors in the back of its head and cut its spinal cord, it ought to be relevant.
Why is it viable? Is it under 23 weeks?
No. They're 8.5 month babies.
Okay.
8 month babies.
Okay. And so
I've seen the pictures.
And?
These look like any other baby you would see in the nursery in any hospital in this country.
Can I ask you a question? What's the difference between that baby and the ones that are getting shot on the street?
That one didn't even have a chance to fight back.
And the ones on the street do?
Yeah, most of them.
No, they don't. No, they don't. See, that's what infuriates me. Life and death is life and death, whether it be the infant or whether it be the child. And we've got young people dying on the streets of America, and we want to talk about infants, but we don't want to talk about the other ones, too. I mean, we've got kids under
the age. Well, no, I want to talk about all of them. I want to give every child a fair shot.
But we're not giving them a fair shot. And it doesn't make good, warm, fuzzy news unless, you know... What, there's a bomb? I heard that.
Well, I don't know. Does it bother you? This was a black doctor, and he did this to black women because black women wouldn't complain and white women would?
No.
So why doesn't it bother you and it bothers me?
I don't know. It doesn't bother me because I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised by the world being evil because it's...
Well,
I mean, seriously. I mean, I hate to sound so cold about it.
Well, you and I both understand the world's
evil.
But
I'm not... But I'm, I mean, a child... I've got kids dying in the streets every day. They're kids who don't have opportunity. And we're skimming about babies, but we're not talking about the kids. They're under the age of 13, 15 years old, black and white. And we're not giving them opportunity. Heck, you know, it's bad on both sides, but nobody wants to talk about them after they become a certain age. They're no longer cute.
Well, we need to talk about them all the way through. I agree.
They don't. No one cares.
I care. You care.
If they care, they do something about it. Right now, you know, I tell you what infuriates me more than anything about this gun registration law. I keep on hearing about Sandy Hook.
But you don't hear a word about Chicago.
I'm not talking about Chicago. I'm talking about Youngstown.
Or Youngstown.
Ain't nobody, don't nobody care about the kids that died, the blood that's in the streets of Youngstown? I'm not concerned about Chicago. I don't live in Chicago. I live in Youngstown, Ohio. No one cares about the people that get killed right here. We want to talk about Sandy Hook. But we've had murders going on in our community for years. And all of a sudden, now it's a rush to judgment. Nobody's talking about that. Yeah. Nobody's talking about, you know, gun specs, where if you are on disability with gun, which means if you're on paper and you have a gun, that you get more time. But no one's talking about if you get found with an illegal gun, you ought to be punished.
Right. I'm not disagreeing with you in the least bit. If you lie on the form, you ought to be punished.
What form?
If you go to try to buy a gun and lie on the form.
So let me ask this.
You ought to be prosecuted. And the FBI does not want to prosecute those because they say we're not going to mess around chasing paper.
So whose fault is that?
It's the FBI's. That's their job, is to chase paper.
No, it's not the FBI's. It's the people, because the FBI is supposed to work for the people.
Well, you got a point there.
And the FBI is supposed to hold the administration accountable for what they do. And we're not doing that.
Well, no, nobody's holding anybody accountable.
So that's a problem. And so I'm really, you know, you're talking about the guy in Philadelphia who's killing babies. I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised. I'm angry.
I'm not even angry. I'm not angry. If I got angry, I'd stay mad.
You got a point there.
If I got angry at all the evil in this society and what's going on when it comes to our young people.
I mean, personally.
Why would you allow a young person to go through school and you know they can't read and pass them anyhow? Why would you have another child and you know that you can't feed the ones that you have? Why would you go out and abuse your body like that? Why would you do that? You've got enough.
Because you don't have any self-respect.
That ain't self-respect. You can go out and jump like rabbits. And there's enough birth control in America right now that you never have to worry about having a kid.
Yeah.
So why in the world would we raise up people to have children and not tell them that they are better than that?
So I can't answer that question.
People that are having abortions right now, we're not looking at all of the situations that are going on around them, and we're pointing our finger because it's easy.
I can't argue with any of that. I'm not going to argue with any of that.
And so we got a doctor stabbing kids in the back.
But
we've got Catholic hospitals. If they're not viable, if they're under 23 weeks, if they're moving around, they're going to let them sit there and die too.
That's two different things, and you know it. You're splitting hairs.
What's the difference?
If that child cannot live outside the womb, and you put that child in a warm place,
what's the difference?
And take care of it.
What's the difference?
Malice.
What's the difference? No
malice.
There's
inhumanity.
There's no difference either way.
There is.
What?
What can you do for that child that is under 23 weeks?
You shouldn't have brought the child out, and it should have never been aborted in the first place.
They're not talking about an abortion. Not in no Catholic hospital. They're talking about spontaneous miscarriage.
Listen.
At a Catholic hospital, you ain't talking abortion. You're talking spontaneous
miscarriage.
Right now,
we're still looking at 23 weeks, and we're talking about viable children. and looking at 23 weeks, and no child should be aborted.
I agree.
But we're not
a spontaneous that. Miscarriage is not an abortion.
True. But we still.
And if that child, if that child can't.
But we still don't do anything to help the child if the child is moving around when it comes outside the womb. They say it's not viable. It is what it is, whether you like it or not. I was surprised when I found that out. So it's not like they go in there and they put him in an incubator and they try to keep the child alive and try. They say it's not viable. There's nothing that we can do. They don't even try. It's the truth. I was shocked, too. I didn't know. I didn't realize that. But it's true. Whether we like it or not, it's not viable. 23 weeks, 22 weeks, not viable. No matter what. Child can have a heartbeat, jump up and down, and actually start running around the room.
Is that standard operating procedure
absolutely.
In all hospitals?
All.
We're going to have to check that out. I'm not sure about that.
I got it from a physician.
About one hospital.
Nope. All. That kid can come out under 22 weeks, can come out jumping and doing somersaults if they consider it not viable.
We're going to have to check that out.
You don't have to check it out. I'm telling you. I actually went to I talked to a person who had a baby.
How many physicians? One.
All.
One physician?
All.
How many physicians have you talked to?
No, I've talked to many. It's not viable. That's what they consider. It's the standard operating procedure for all OBGYNs. It's not viable. People deliver babies.
Then how come I see on the news babies that are less than 22 weeks in incubators that are being saved?
No.
Yes.
No.
Let's look it up.
Go look it up.
I'm going to Google it.
Hey,
right
the number
now.
Is 347-945-5229. Stick doesn't want to believe me, but it's real. 334, your mic is on. Hey, Chicago, how are you? Is that Chicago? No, that's Alabama. How you doing, darling? Where you been?
Hey, I got a new contract I just started. What's going on?
Sticks is talking abortion today.
Abortion?
Yeah.
Oh, they use fetal tissue for Pepsi Cola. Y'all heard about that?
Say that again?
They
do
use
what?
It for sweetener. They use it for the sweetener of Pepsi.
What?
Fetal tissue. Fetus.
No, stop that.
I thought it was crazy myself. I did. I thought it was crazy. But there's actually, is there some truth to it?
No.
Yeah, look it up.
Just no,
like you just
no,
said
Alabama.
Yeah.
No.
I'm like, why? Why would that?
No. It's false.
Okay.
It says Pepsi uses material from. It's false. If Pepsi
there's
uses
a legal case going on about it. There's a case pending about it. There's some stuff, but yeah.
No.
I thought it was. I was like, come on, that's just crazy. Why would that don't even
no.
make sense? But yeah.
No.
Okay.
They can't do that. That's crazy. No, they can't do that.
I don't
so
know.
Is going
it
on?
Still? Not much. I was just listening to some people. Everybody's waiting to blame the Christians for the bombing. So.
Why do you blame the Christians?
And I ain't gonna lie, if I was white, I'd probably be racist. I'd probably start becoming, because I would get tired of every time something happened. You know, I'm saying black people, I know we have some things we should be, you know, I'm just saying, I understand why black people are upset about a lot of stuff that's happened, but at the same time, if I was listening, I'd be a little upset about being called, you know, people calling for, you know, to throw us in camps. And I mean, it's just getting crazy. Now, they not talk about me, but if I was one of the people that, it would really upset me. So, you know, they talking about as a white Christian far right. You know, when they say far right, that's if you don't believe in homosexual marriage, you're far right. So, I mean, it's crazy, though.
Hey, I got a question. Hey, hold on. I got a question for you, but hold on. I want to pick up my local call, but I got a question for you in a minute. Local call, your mic is on.
Hi, Tracy. I haven't called you in a while, and I hope you've been doing okay.
I'm doing good.
Well, I just tuned into your show, and my stomach wants to turn. And I didn't hear what the last caller just said, what they're using the fetal tissue for.
Pepsi, the sweetener in Pepsi. It says Pepsi will halt the use of aborted fetal cells in – it was in flavor research.
God, that is sick. Anyways, you know, you're talking about, you know, these babies, the doctor's not saying the babies are viable.
Right.
They can live. I mean, abortion is, you know, it's people, you can go back and forth on it. Me, for one, over the years and as I got older, I've changed in my life. And, I mean, no, there's no reason to get one. If you don't want that baby, carry it through. And go to the police station. Go to the hospital. Go anywhere. People want babies. You know, they're paying big money to adopt them.
They don't.
I know, Tracy.
No,
so
they don't.
Sad.
The American abortion system makes it very, very difficult for people to adopt children. And then on top of that, if you're looking at children who are of color, they're very, very hard to get adopted also.
But you're seeing more of that. You're seeing more of people adopting children of color, too.
No, they're going to other countries and bringing back children of color. But they're not adopting children of color that are already...
Why do we make it so hard here in our city?
Now that
it's already and available to do something like this.
That I don't know. I don't know why they make it to where it is so difficult, but they do make it very, very difficult for people who want to adopt children here in the United States. It's in some areas, it is just too much work.
A person I know, and they live in another state right now, and they're pregnant, and she's just about 7 months. Okay. She changed her mind and doesn't want this baby. Okay? Give birth, give it up, right? She knows that some doctors down where she's at that will give her an abortion. And she told me this on the phone, and I just got sick in my stomach. I said, you can't do this. That baby is, you know, my daughter was born a month and a half early. And she was little. She was 5 pounds, but she came out okay. We stayed in the hospital for 5 days. But, you know, I just don't understand these doctors that are doing this. And I know it's greed. I know it's money, you know. I just pray that people out there will really stop and think. You know, these babies got souls already.
Hey,
I believe the men at a conception, I believe they have souls. I really do.
Hey, listen, hold on. There is a live video briefing in reference to
again,
a suspicious letter.
The FBI
that is addressed
and
to President
Secret
Barack Obama.
To ask these questions of because they handle the processing of or the investigation of in one case, and Capitol Police and the Secret Service handle the assessments of it. It is certainly the case, I think, as the FBI has pointed out, that when preliminary tests are done, secondary and I suppose tertiary tests are made because of the need for accuracy and to be sure about what the substances might be. But for the history of this, I would refer you to the FBI, the Secret Service, and the Capitol Police. John.
Well, just a clarification. The letter or the envelope received here, did it have the same return address?
It was not received here, John.
Received at the facility. But the envelope sent to the president, did it have the same return address as the one?
Again, that's the subject of the investigation. I have no information on the nature of the mailing label or the return address. That would be for the FBI to address.
And do you know if there was a letter in this envelope, or is it just the
again, I have no the reason why I opened with a statement about it is to make clear that this is a matter under investigation by the FBI and that they have a lead in both investigating and providing information on that investigation to the public.
Okay, let me ask you something you definitely know about.
Mm-hmm.
The gun control votes Capitol Hill today certainly looks like it's going down in defeat. What does this say? What happens next? Is the president going to continue his fight on this?
The president believes very strongly that the Senate should pass the background checks bill. You have heard him speak passionately about this issue. The families of Newtown victims have been in Washington speaking to lawmakers about the need to pass common sense legislation to reduce gun violence. This was always going to be difficult. We said that from the beginning. The reason why these common sense provisions aren't law already is because they are difficult. And there is no question that the path to 60 in this case is difficult, but it is not unachievable.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. There was a suspicious letter that was sent to the White House today, and they think there had, is it ricin that was found in it? I believe
yes.
It was.
Yes, ricin powder.
Ricin powder. And so that they went there, and then they went over to the gun issue. And so I wanted to make sure that we heard what they had to say. You know, I'm adamantly opposed to a lot of the policies of the president, but you fight a fight and you fight it fair. You don't fight it with sending dangerous materials that can hurt people because some things are just stupid. So, local call, go ahead. You were saying something, and I want you to finish your statement, then I'm going to go back to Alabama.
About the friend of mine, she's just about 7 months in where she's at in another state. These doctors are, you know, they're going to perform these abortions that late in the stage.
I agree.
And she's going to get this, Tracy.
But, you know, I mean, think about the common sense of stuff. And, you know, we just got done hearing somebody talk about common sense, the press secretary for the president. But
yes.
Listen to this. We don't teach abstinence. We don't teach thought before sex. We don't talk about, you know, the importance of life.
I think parents are too afraid to go there. I think it's still taboo, or they think they're going to, maybe they don't care. I don't know. I know me personally, I've sat my daughter down when she was hitting those years and told her stuff and told her about, you know, the diseases and getting pregnant and, you know, feeling like a woman and being with the man for the right reason and all that. You know, I mean, I told her, but it was different when I grew up. My dad, I went to a Catholic school, and he just said, doesn't the school teach you? But that was back then. But today, you would think with all this, everything going on in the world, that us as parents would sit the kids down.
I don't think
we want the responsibility.
Then so why is it that if we have to want the responsibility, because eventually, if we don't talk about it, our kids are going to come home and say, guess what, you're a new grandmother.
I agree. I totally agree with you. And I just...
So we have to, I mean, we have to take ownership of it somehow. What's happening is we don't.
We don't.
And that's what I said about abortion. Abortion is an easy target. But we don't talk about what goes on to make that baby happen. Because, you know, we find easy targets to point at. We find, you know, when I talk about viable, you know, we point fingers at viable, you know, people who are leaving kids out and all. But we don't talk about that. You, if it's not a viable pregnancy, they let the same child go the same way.
So, and I heard you talk, and you said that, you know, people miscarry, you know, at a later stage. And
yeah.
Maybe, like you said, still could be kicking and screaming later on.
Yeah.
They don't try to help that baby.
They say that the pregnancies are not viable, and when they're not viable, they let the child go because more than likely everything will not be developed.
They don't.
Yeah, they say, because, you know, they say that either the lungs or the hearts or the cells or the everything is not developed completely if it's under 23, I think it's 23 weeks.
You know, my daughter's lungs weren't developed all the way when I had her.
I believe it.
And she is 24 years old now. She'll be 25 in July, and she's alive, well, kicking, and in her 20s and a grown adult.
I believe
it. I don't think they want to be bothered. And another thing, Tracy, I know you want to get back to the other call, but I think that's, maybe the government's way of saying, okay, we're getting overpopulated. So, you know, again, we're going to leave the babies go, and not to jump to another subject, but we're going to let the elderly go, too, by not taking care of them. You know? That's just my thoughts.
I don't put it past either one, but what I think is the reason why we're having the issues that we're having in the land is because we're not taking ownership of what we're doing wrong.
I definitely agree with you.
Alabama, go ahead.
Okay, Tracy, God bless.
God bless you, too. Love you.
Okay, love you, too. Bye-bye.
I guess I kind of, the thing he was talking about with the guns and using the Newtown people, kind of, it really upsets me when I hear stuff like that when, you know, I just, a friend of mine posted a video yesterday and the police pulls in his guy's yard. He jumped out the car, I ain't gonna lie, he jumped out kind of fast, and they shot the guy 15 times. So you know, my thing is, look, I'm not for us having a war against the police. When they, you know, I just don't think we're thinking logically when we talk about gun control. I just don't think people are really thinking logically, because you give them, okay, we're going to go to, you know, 8 bullets in the clip, 6 bullets, 2 bullets. Next thing you know, no guns. Then, you know, then when they want to show up and do something crazy, you know, it's because we gave up our rights. We get rights taken in America, but we never get them back, ever. And so that's why I always say when I call sometimes, like, it's over, because I feel like it's a lot of, you got too many people. I got a friend of mine, he's 300 pounds, refuses to work out. He's 5'6", doesn't want to work out. Now he's getting, he just got awarded disability last week. He's dancing in the streets. I mean, but he's actually, he could probably hold a job, but he doesn't want a job. He's not going to work. Driving a brand new 2012 Camaro, his parents bought him, just spoiled all the way around. Now he's going to get disability the rest of his life, but it's only $1,200. So he's going to be a permanent underclass type individual. He just is. He's going to be making, trying to live off $1,200 a month the rest of his life.
We are not, and this is my issue, whether it be abortion, pro-choice, pro-life, gun rights, non-gun rights, you know, all of it, we talk about common sense legislation. But why do we talk about the abortion issue but don't talk about what's happening with the STDs and the promiscuousness of the American society? We don't understand that we are teaching our kids that they can choose their sexual identity before they even hit puberty. Do we really understand what's going on here? I mean, do we understand that we are opening up a Pandora's box all the way around? We talk about viable pregnancy and non-viable pregnancy. We demonize when it goes one way, but we don't understand that we do this everywhere.
I mean, I think there's also a worldview you have to take if you really believe that you can have two men married. If you're going to teach in kindergarten, literally, I mean, 4 or 5 years old, that if two men is okay, two women is okay, then you have to, you're taking a certain platform that doesn't lead to, you know, the old Judeo-Christian, however you want to say, or I ain't going to say just period religious view. I ain't going to say Judeo-Christian,
Listen, even if you take Christianity out of this, if you take the Judeo-Christian thought process out of this, just look at this, the common sense of being moral. See, there's a morality that says that multiple sexual partners can lead to diseases that will kill you. Not wearing a condom is not safe sex. Teaching your children not to be mindful before they lay down with everybody is not a good thing. We deal with the abortion, but yet we reward people when they have children. But if you don't have children, you get nothing. See, financial aid does not easily come to those people who try to do it the right way with no kids. See, money
well,
and
I mean,
food
that's
stamps
just like my friend
kind of
in disability.
Section 8 does not, you got to go die something or go step on a rock or something, twist a foot, turn it around, get too big or whatever you want to do. But we do not reward people for trying to do the right thing the right way. We reward people for doing it and becoming amoral.
Tracy.
Yes, Al?
It's a whole mindset. I mean, I read it this morning on the Huffington Post. Listen, there's a group out there, progressives, that are trying to change, and this is in their words, changing the look of American Islam. Okay?
American what?
You got mosques, Islamic faith. Islamic faith, the American Muslim. Okay? You've got the mosque, in their mosque, you've got women praying in the mosque. You've got men and women praying in the mosque together. There's interaction. They're one to I don't know what their version of ordaining is, but to have women in their pulpit. And these are the progressives, okay? And what I'm seeing is with these guys, they're going to take any religion and anything that they can and tear it down to fit and mold it into what they want it to. And anybody that says anything other than that is a homophobe. They speak in their article in Huffington Post saying that there is a homophobia in the Islamic faith. And I'm like, these guys are crazy. They're going after any religion.
Now, homophobia is a real problem. You can use that on anybody. If I disagree with a gay guy taking my sons out in the woods, then I'm homophobic. You know, I'm like, well, he has a sexual orientation towards boys, so why would I want him? You know, as a man can't take girls out in the. You know, so it's just common sense.
But
they don't.
Look at what you're saying.
There's
a bigger picture there. And go ahead, Tracy. I'm sorry.
I'm saying that look at what you're saying. Right now, in an amoral society, we're talking about abortion today. We're talking about alternatives to, you know, to aborting. But I just got a note from Bill, and Bill said when he was married, he was trying to adopt a child, and he said he didn't care if the child was an African American child, and the adoption agency said, no, you don't want to take that path. And they discouraged him from adopting an African-American child. It's like when you go to move into a city, they never take you to the inner city to move to buy a house. They don't even show you it. So do we not really understand that in our society, they are steering our mindset way beyond or way beyond the parameters of inclusion and common sense?
Well, Tracy, don't you think that there? I think we have, and if you're going to discuss and go down this path, you have to look at all dynamics, not just the people. I think there are people, a few elitists that are shaping this agenda. If you go back, if you're talking about abortion, you have to get into the black, whatever they call it, where they're trying to wipe us off the face of the earth, black genocide. That's what these people have said, that's what they're going to do. 78 now, it's went up to 78 now. It used to be 70. It's another extra 8% now are in black communities. Almost 80% now, 8 out of 10 are in black communities. They're trying to wipe us out, and they're doing it.
But this is
not on purpose. And then the media is owned by the same people, so it's like that's why you're not going to get a real groundswell of people against it, because people have to inform themselves. And they, you know, when you got Love and Hip Hop and all this other good entertaining television, they are stuff they're not going to go sit down and read. And so it's kind of, this is being guided. Just like the lady was talking about, her daughter was being born premature. A lot of kids are being born with asthma, allergies, more and more. It's spiking up high because they're pumping stuff into the aspartame and doing all these different things
to make sure that we're
messed up.
Alabama, let me say this, and let us really understand this. This is not about race. This is about undesirables.
Didn't you say that we're the test subjects? That's all I was saying.
Listen to what I'm saying. We are the pilot program for the rest of society. We need to understand that. And now that they have found out that it works, now they're spreading it to the rest of the populace.
When we talk about who they,
I have not figured out they, but I would call them elitists. Because there is an elitist mindset around that tells people that they are part of the undesirables. And we look at it as a racism thing, but what it is a socioeconomic dynamic that we're not paying attention to. So we become this cesspool of undesirables that we can be expendable as long as they get theirs. And as long as they keep us divided over the dumb stuff, we will never come after them and tell them that we won't take it anymore.
But you can look up the guy that they love, Machiavelli, and how that's their game, that's their playbook, that's how they do stuff. They want to make it look a certain way. That's why you never understand about the Bank of England and the Federal Reserve. That's really who I think perpetrates a lot of the ills in our society. I think we'd be way further along as a people, black, white, everybody, if it wasn't for the Fed.
Alabama, darling, see, this is where I want us to really understand. We cannot overthrow the Fed until we understand that we have to come together as one. We can't overthrow the banking system until we actually understand that there is a plan to extinguish most of us. And right now, as long as they keep us divided, as long as they keep us screwing, drinking, and smoking, then that's all that we care about. They will continue to do what they want to do. Last night I watched the program briefly on TV with a matchmaker. You can't tell me that's not prostitute television. The Bachelorette, all that kind of crazy stuff. And we get sucked into it, the undesirables, the unlearned, the uneducated. We're watching this mess. We're feeding on it. Do we not realize that we have become our own soap opera?
Exactly.
I mean, seriously, when you watch the soap operas, when you were looking at them in the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s, it was not reality television. Right now, you cannot tell me I have a girlfriend. She's been married four times. She's only 40 years old. She's like, you know, what's her name? I forgot her name. The one on All My Children with all the husbands.
Erica Kane.
We didn't. There you go. We didn't do that at one time. Why is it that I can't get with a man and stay with them? So now I've become my own soap opera. I'm living like the Days of Our Lives. And my children are growing up just as dysfunctional as theirs, if not more, because we're raising them like we see it on television instead of raising them at home. And then we don't want to have it until we abort the rest.
There's a terminology we use in computer programming. It's GIGO. And that stands for garbage in, garbage out. And that's exactly what we've been doing, putting in garbage and expecting an excellent program to come out. It just don't work that way. But, and you're absolutely right, it is not a race issue. They may have used the African-American community as a control group, but if you go back and you look at what genocide is, And what the eugenics program wanted to do, they wanted to get rid of anybody that was undesirable. You like somebody like a Charles Krauthammer? No, he'd be gone. He'd be, you know, no, he has no value to society. He'd throw him away. Yeah, I've got a friend that's a blind carpenter. He's blind. Can't use him. He's undesirable. I mean, you know, people that are mentally retarded. They would be gone.
Well, that's
cerebral palsy. They'd be gone.
That's the problem with our society.
I mean,
in South Carolina, that's the problem with our society today, is we have forgotten that the least among us have value. I've got a friend that owns a little business, and he's got a daughter that's mentally defective, and she's in her 20s now, and she shows up for work every day, and she sits behind the counter, and she counts change, and she takes money. But she couldn't go to work for anybody else, but she has value. She has value to her parents, and she's the most wonderful person, and I've been told she never forgets a birthday of anybody in her church, and everybody in her church gets a birthday card from that young lady.
We're not taught. I mean, so when you look at abortion, right now they're trying to find genes that will tell you if the child is going to be a boy or a girl earlier. So that
exactly.
If you don't want that, then you can abort that child. And it's almost like designer children.
A Brave New World. I've never read it. I've heard a lot about it. It's a book.
I haven't heard that one.
A Brave New World. Has anybody else heard about A Brave New World?
Yeah.
So we don't understand. But we are now getting to the place where we want to have designer kids. We want to choose what color eyes they're going to have. If they're going to be obese. If they're going to be light skin or dark skin. Well, you know, all that kind of crazy stuff.
Remember the designer sperm?
Can you say
no?
Can you say Mangala?
Yeah,
can you say Mangala?
What's Mangala? You know I'm going.
Dr. Joseph Mangala.
You know
Mangala,
I'm going
Joseph Mangala. Oh my gosh, he was. Oh man, he did some of the most horrific experiments on people to try and create the master race.
He was the eugenist of all eugenists.
Was he before Sanger or after Sanger?
After Sanger. You got to remember
after Sanger.
That the Germans got their ideas about eugenics from the Americans.
From the United States.
Absolutely.
So tell me this. So why is it that we're allowing a government to attach its foreign aid to abortions and to Planned Parenthood?
Because we've been brainwashed.
Have we been brainwashed or are we
We've been funny? We've been lulled to sleep and brainwashed. How many parents do you know, if you say, why don't you homeschool your children? Parents that have time, don't get me wrong, say, well, I'm not really intelligent enough to homeschool my child.
Exactly.
We've been lulled to sleep and brainwashed that we don't know anything, and it's the masterminds and the elites that have to tell us how to live because we aren't intelligent enough.
You know what it is, Tracy?
What's that?
It's because the aid is tied to certain countries. When you've got Britain, France, Sweden, Germany, Russia paying their women to have babies, there's no abortion stipulation tied to whatever aid goes to them. But when the aid goes to Liberia, when the aid goes to Uganda, Zambia, Nigeria, oh, no, you have to stipulate and permit abortions and same-sex marriage.
Why is that?
That's on the White House website.
Come on now.
Well, you know, race does, or should I say ethnic group does play a part. That's
Hello?
A good example right there.
Hold on.
Well, how long are you going to make me hold on? You don't let
until Pionki gets his thought out.
Around to eight different subjects.
So, yeah, I got my thought out. How you doing, Slick?
Man.
Good, Pionki.
Go ahead, Michigan.
Your study telling me to hold on, or you jumped around to 20 different subjects instead of telling
Michigan,
me to hold on. Listen.
Michigan,
yeah, I'm
going to
tell you
what
I'm going to say.
There you
hey,
go.
Listen. The only reason I called in because anytime I hear black people trying to disarm other black people saying something is not about race, I have a duty and a responsibility.
Get
to
your
make
duty
sure
out
I
and then
check
say it.
You. It is about race, and it always will be about race. Is that clear enough?
It is the way it is for you, but you got to look at the bigger picture. We are not here by ourselves.
South Carolina. That speakerphone is just as bad as that cheap Bluetooth.
So Michigan, how many generations do we have to intermarry before it won't be about race anymore?
Who is we?
Blacks, whites, purples, greens, yellows, the human race. How many generations does the human race have to intermarry before it's no longer about race?
Well, I don't think you have.
So if Tracy and I get married, and have a child, and another interracial couple gets married and has a child, how many generations before it's not about black and white no more?
Well, you would have to ask the society that you're a part of. I don't think you're going to have any society that becomes race neutral. I don't give a care how many little mixed babies you have running around. No society is going to become racist.
Hold on. Let me ask
which
you,
one?
Let me ask you this. It's my understanding, and I may be perfectly wrong, but you know, it's my understanding that if you were to take the whole world population, European Americans would be in the super minority of them because the majority of them are people of color. Am I wrong?
The majority of who?
The majority of the world population are people of color. They are not European Americans or white Americans. Or let me say, not even white Americans, white people in general. The majority of the world is mostly people of color.
Caucasian,
not Caucasian.
Non-Caucasian, yes.
Non-Caucasian, that's a good word. And the
but you know what, no, Tracy?
Hold on, Alabama women, let me get this thought out. Because, see, this is where I'm coming from. Because, see, right now my major concern is America. And I had this conversation earlier today with a man, and I said to him, we have deluded the African-American, the black American, to the point that I don't think we can take another two generations and come out strong if we don't change what we do. Because, see, black, or should I say people of color, throughout the world, they are moving forward and they are moving on. When I go over to Africa, when I see them coming here, when I have my friends here, their conversations and what they're doing is not what African Americans are doing.
Correct.
See, they're not going to prison. They're not going to jail. They're not killing each other on the street. They're coming over here and they're getting what they have to get, and they're going back home and doing what they have to do to succeed and to survive. And they're using this as a catapult for success. We're here. We are breeding inept.
Tracy, when I went to my daughter's college graduation 2 years ago, there were an awful lot
What's
of black
point?
People that black people that crossed the stage with African-sounding last names.
They were African.
African continent-sounding last names. They were all exchange students, and they were in petroleum engineering and mining engineering, all of the engineering disciplines. And there were plenty of black people crossing that stage at West Virginia University that
but
year.
But they weren't black. A lot of them, most of them were not black Americans. And so what I'm saying is, when we look at this, when I tell you about this, they're really not concerned anymore about the color of your skin per se. Just like Pionki said, when it comes
who
to abortion
is not,
and
stuff. Pionki didn't say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but see, Africans come to America to fill those positions that African Americans are not qualified for.
And why are we not qualified? Because we're not good enough?
No, it's not that we're not good enough, because we experience a more direct attack than they do. And you can't say that's not true.
That's true. The question is, when are we going to realize that people are throwing bullets at us? And they're not, you know, water bullets. They're not water balloons.
Not only that, but see, you got your Vanguard organizations that attack you also, but in a different way. It's very complicated. Very,
I know,
very complicated.
But Go ahead, Alabama.
No, I was just saying, when Michigan made his point, I was co-signing, because in a sense, when you made a point saying that they make up European Americans make up a fraction of the world's population. I think, and you can debate this, but they say the Rothschild House of Rothschild controls almost half the wealth in the world, like almost $500 trillion, are just controlled by one Caucasian family alone, not including what the rest of it. So when you make these points, I believe you can make it in America and all that, but there's a very strong case as to why in every country I've been to, people that are of brown skin, they try to ascribe to being white. They don't like anything that's black. I've seen people in South America, you talk to them, the girl was talking about Beyonce, and the guy was like, well, Beyonce's black. Why would you ever want to be black? Like, this is how these people think, and this is all over the world. You got Africans that come over here and try to tell. Hold on. You got Africans that come over here. Let me make this point. There are Africans that come over here, and I've been arguing with a lot of them, that say, if you're going to date a white person, people are brainwashed in this world to think white is better. That's just the bottom line. I don't think it is. In fact, I'm proud to be black. I can't stand it when we see somebody don't want to own up to their culture and what they are. You don't even come around me. But at the same time, I can't sit up here and say that a lot of people ain't brainwashed. Why is that? Who did that?
But by the same token,
I'm taking a break.
But you have Africans that come here.
Go ahead. What you saying?
Yeah, but you have – here's another thing, too. All Africans are not a monolith, because you have Africans that come here that will not marry other than their own particular ethnic group. You know, like Nigerians, they're Nigerian, but they only marry Igbo. And Nigerians, although they're Nigerian,
marry
Europe.
I've seen that, too, but a lot of them are white. I've seen a lot of people – when you go to a foreign country, they want white men. They don't want – you can be black, have money. I'm telling you, that's. I'm single. I've been out of the country a lot. I've been in like 14, 15 countries. It's very common that they want you American. They want a white American male. That's what they're looking
for.
Well,
they consider
Americans. Somehow they think that means they're going to have a better life. I don't know why, but they think that.
Well, yeah, they do. Well, you got a bunch of black American males that's down in Brazil and think that the women there is better than the ones here, too. So... it's just one of those things, but it is about the race.
Well, how could it be like that all the way across the world, though? Like, that's all I'm saying. Like, I just feel as though the images that have been portrayed through media, through all types of different media, have been positive of them. They have controlled everything. So when I look at, like, the Rothschilds and all these different people, they do exist. It's funny how they don't tell people. People act like you never hear their names mentioned. These folks are trillionaires. They exist. So it's like, you know, that's why we focus in on the Warren Buffett. He's a little fish. He's a small guy. So that's what I'm saying.
The Rothschild Rothschilds intermarried amongst themselves too. I don't think they care who in the heck.
Yeah, but their house is pretty. It's pretty wide though. Like, rarely will somebody have that last name. Like, that's a privilege, even be called. You'll have a different last name, but you're a Rothschild.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. When I look, looking up these people's history and what they own and what conglomerates, what they are part of. This stuff started in the late 1600s. These people been running things for a long time, and it's like,
they have, but they can be competed against. They're not vulnerable. They're not non-vulnerable. They can be.
It's an uphill battle, very uphill battle. When you start talking about when we broke away from them and started America. They tried for a while, but I mean, it only lasted in half that time, 70, 80 years. That's probably the only time we only probably went 60 years without some type of central bank. The other 100 and whatever years we got left has always been a central bank. It's always been, and I think that controls, if you own the media, if you own them, nobody knows who you are. You can't be audited. The president, nobody can go in there and see what you're doing. You're influencing policy. You're influencing the military, the military-industrial complex.
But all that is beginning to change. Countries have, it doesn't matter if a country have a central bank. It matters on whose currency you recognize as a currency of final settlement. And countries are starting to get off the U.S. dollars as being their currency. So
they don't look at it like, if the country go down, we going to pay the bill. Us, not them. They going to completely branch out and do something else. They breaking off into China right now.
The thing is, the reason I always put the race center back front and center is because blacks don't have the luxury of attempting to see about the world's business, or what we keep saying, America's business, which is not even it's a fictitious idea. American business is European business. And we keep thinking we have this luxury of taking care of this business of a group of people who you are not a part of.
Minton. Come on, but the problem is that black folks, nobody's stopping black people from doing those things.
Hold on, Bianca. Because the vacillation, man, I don't get with the vacillation, and you know that. Now, I know what you mean when you say they're a part of. Just because you're on the soil doesn't mean you're a part of it.
No, more than just being on the soil.
This is what it,
do you have not social security? Have you not paid into Social Security?
Yeah, okay. Yes, that's the fringe edges of it, which you're going to have to do. I got to stop at a stop sign when I get in my car in a few minutes.
You have access to U.S. patents, too.
Yeah.
Because you're a U.S. citizen. So blacks are part of this country.
Listen, the locus of control, this is what we're talking about. When you're talking about a culture, you're talking about the locus of control. Name me one centralized area of the locus of control that blacks control in America.
Blacks control, you had a black man by the name of Jake Simmons in Texas that was a power broker. The whites had to come to him. So don't say it can't be done.
Wait a minute. Power is an abstract word.
He was a political power broker. If they wanted access, they had to go to him.
But access to what?
What it is that they want political wise.
You see all these words you're using. We're talking about, when you're talking about controlling of a culture, you're talking about being able to control, for the most part, the mass. What goes into people's minds, right? Who gets what resource that's available inside of that culture? You're talking about those concrete things, not
but
the
to, who,
power
the way,
and civil rights.
If
and
you want to control, we got the ability to control what goes in our minds if we were to utilize it. Media depends on advertising dollars. Start more businesses that buy advertisement time from media, and they will not go against your wishes.
Yeah, the bottom.
Let me say one quick thing,
Alabama. That's why we have the history of blacks in America. The bottom up approach, building from the ground up, like Bianca is saying, Been there, done that. So now either if you finna say,
yeah, but we don't
put
do
this bowl back in the microwave and rewarm it up again and try it again.
No,
is that
it
what
works.
You're saying?
If you when I started buying, let me add this point though.
When you go in though, because it seems like he's saying, I think Michigan is trying to say that we don't control any of the resources, the commodities. At the same time, I do feel like we are the wealthiest people on the planet, black people on the planet. So I do think if we did come together and say, hey, we're going to do X.
We're not trying to do it. Until we control the source of those consumable dollars, we can't be claimed as being the wealth, because people don't recognize wealth by the amount of money that you spend. It's by the amount that you manufacture and produce, thus your GDP.
Well, what you have is, if you
want to
say,
how did you get to that point? In order to get to that point, you have to be able to start somewhere.
Well, just because blacks may be standing on the wealthiest land, and that's that we are doing. But if you do not have the technology or the military or that part of
you
it
don't,
to control what's coming out of that, then you have to.
They don't
correct.
Need the military. They just need to go ahead and do what they need to do. Look at all these population centers of blacks. Look at your Jackson, Mississippi, and your
Here's the problem you're running into. I mean, you know, you talk from one worldview, but you live in another worldview, okay?
That's a contradiction. I'm agreeing with you.
But what I'm saying is from the natural African's point of view, we might as well be a bunch of niggas.
Be what? No, that's not true.
Listen to me. They look at us like white people used to look at us back in the day. And that's the kind of attitude that I get from them. I'm saying that from what I've dealt with.
I'm telling you just the opposite from what I've dealt with. You see? So I mean,
but Michigan, that's because when they talk to you, Michigan, they see you got some sense in your head. When they cut the TV on, they see people running around with their shirts all hell knotted and pants hanging off their behind.
And they think that's a typical black guy. That's absolute
true.
Africans come here for one thing, and that's to extract wealth out of this country.
Just
like everybody else do.
That's right. And that's what they should be doing.
Go down in Houston.
That's
look
actually
at them.
What we should be doing.
Look at that large area that Nigerians have developed, like a stretch. So they come here to extract wealth out of this country. We don't.
You're saying that they come here to extract wealth, right? How do they do it? They come here, they share their houses. They work hard. They save their money. Most Africans I know that have made it and been successful came here and did the same thing we can do.
Plus, also, they target professions.
I know 10
pharmacists, and 8 of those 10 are Nigerians.
Guess what
else?
I am. Alabama.
Can I come back up now?
They stay under the radar.
Can I come back up now?
I just get disturbed, Tracy, when you say you have a hard time finding a man.
Well, it's tough out there.
You just don't
understand.
Tracy looks good.
Y'all just don't understand how hard it is to find a man. Because, you know, we're folks
well,
not
well,
made
understand.
Okay.
Tracy, I'm single, too. I'm single, too, Tracy.
Single
what are you talking about?
You know, I will come to Alabama. I ain't got a problem with Alabama. Y'all got good food.
I don't know, Tracy. I like them young, that Tracy.
What are you trying to say? Y'all
no,
ain't
no disrespect. No disrespect. I'm sorry.
No, no.
I'm sorry.
No,
don't go on. Don't mute my mic.
She told me.
Don't mute my mic.
I'm young at heart. Just don't want kids. That's all I ask. I don't want any children.
You told me you're 22, and no woman would ever tell lie about her age.
Yeah, right. Women never lie.
But the going under the radar.
Hey, stop. Hey, you're listening to the Tracy and Friends, and the number is 347-945-5229. And you're listening to us on WSOM AM 600. In studio with me is Styx. I've got all these people on the line, and they talking about people under the radar. I don't know what they're talking about who's online, but I got to go back because I got to start off where I left off. So go back. Okay.
Hello?
Well,
you don't know who was under the radar.
Who was under the radar?
Well, we were talking about ethnic groups who are able to strategically come into America and extract resources and technologies and use them to their advantage. Is that
clear? Let me ask this. When you look at the abortion rate.
Did you understand that?
Yes. Listen to what I'm asking. This is going to go back to where you are. When you look at the abortion rate, why is it that you don't see people of African descent, Latino descent, filling up the abortion clinics?
Well, they're trying to have babies and make them United States citizens. That's why.
So why are we trying to go out and abort as many babies as we can?
Well, Tracy,
who is we? Who are you talking about? We.
That is a question.
African Americans and POFO.
We know the answer to that question.
Well, I mean, there's many number of reasons. One, in a lot of cases, the woman don't want to take care of the baby by herself. Two, being stupid and having sex without protection. Three, being broke. Four.
Okay. Now let's.
I mean, you want me to stop?
I'll let you do. Okay, hold on. I'll let you go through there. So now I know that I don't want to have kids. See, I know that I don't want to have kids. I know that. Or I don't want to have any more. And you can put something in your arm that you don't have to worry about a baby for 5 years. Tell me, why is it that we are not taking proactive measures with this? And why are we not teaching it?
Well, are we not teaching it. It goes beyond the ones that's on this conversation. Now, when you leave there, then you got a whole different element that you have to work with that's actually not telling the children that they shouldn't be doing these things, although they're in contact with them every day in long periods of the day in educational settings.
So all these folks that show up at funerals and weddings and christenings and all them, are they not being told this? When we go down and we say that we care about the future and when we go and collect money, look at our politicians. Why are they not dealing with this? I mean,
they ain't
seriously.
No damn good. I mean, we have Congress. You have programs talking about the ineptitude of politicians.
So why is it that we keep on voting them in? We keep on talking to them. We keep on letting them take our money. We keep on letting them represent us. Why is it that we keep on doing the same thing over and over again and getting the same results and we don't think we're crazy?
Because you're a psychopathic. You have a psychopathic racial personality.
That was me, not everybody. You told me I had a psychopathic racial personality.
Most black Americans have that, Tracy.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
Absolutely, they absolutely do.
No, they don't. They don't have a personality at all because they don't know who they are. At least I know who I am and what I'm about. The majority of people don't know who they are or what they're about. And we have not given them a sense of hope so that they can find out who they are because we don't want them to have hope. Because if they have hope, they may question what I do and I control them because I make money off of them.
Did you get the book?
Hey, Michigan, how come a 21-year-old woman?
Huh?
Did you get the book?
No, not yet.
Sticks had a
question. Why is it then, Michigan, in the 50s, a 21-year-old black woman was more likely to be married than a 21-year-old white woman?
Because men were allowed in the home still.
Well, there's a number of reasons, Sticks, but one of the things is you did have more of a, even though the black family was under attack, we knew we were under attack and we were forced to unify, and so you did have more of a black nucleus family who knew that they had to stay together and they had to have their resources turn over with each other. And so you had more of a black community then. And when you have functional communities, you don't have abortions.
Yeah, they didn't have no welfare either.
Integration.
Yeah. So
welfare programs.
Let me say this. Welfare programs, was it called the Great Society?
Yes.
The Great Society, the War on Poverty, and integration.
Hello?
Hello? Your mic's on.
Oh, well, first off, if you look at it systematically, blacks and Native American should be lagging behind every other race here in America. Blacks are not immigrants. Native Americans are not immigrants. We're the only two races here in America that are lagging behind every other race here. Africans should be moving forward and progressing financially because they're immigrants. Just like every other race here in America, they are immigrants. But it's really not going to matter anyway because in 4 years, once the Mexicans become the majority, they're going to put their resources together, they're going to buy these companies up, and they're going to have other Mexicans working in those companies.
You said 4 years, they're doing that now.
In 40 years, once they become the majority, though.
But this is the issue. The reason why they're working is because they choose to work. What I said earlier, and I mean, this is what bothers me to no end, is that we have a populace now. We have eroded our strength. Our strength is weakening by every generation.
It's failure to form the black entrepreneur that has the resources and the money to monopolize the black economic system.
Let me finish.
They have not monopolized the black economic system and the black community to have a economic strength in their communities. They're working for other whites. And what they have to do is get together. They have the resources and the money to create an economic source in black areas where they will be the employers for blacks and train them. But I don't see that happening because they're not really business people. That's why the Latinos, the Mexicans, in 40 years, they're going to be the economic powerhouse here in America because they're going to put their resources together and buy up these companies from whites and have nothing but Mexicans working in those companies.
So you know, I had no Chicago.
At the bottom of the list.
Chicago,
hey,
I had a young lady.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
I had a young lady who was with us at one time, and she was of Latino descent. She was Mexican, and she said that they are taught that Latino is first. So they always learn to support one another, and it is taught to them.
Between the race of people. You said I didn't let you finish. And you got 33% unemployment rate for black males. About
Chicago.
Incarcerated. The economics in black communities are horrible. Then that's the problem between black economics and America.
But are you? Listen to what I'm saying, sweetie.
Nobody's disagreeing with you, man. Well, you just keep saying the same thing.
But the problem that I'm saying is we have to have a mindset to want to make a difference.
But Tracy is a walking contradiction because if I bring up the concept of having a race-based political, economic, and social consciousness, you want to say it's not about race. You're a walking contradiction.
Well, is it about this then? Because you said that the Latinos and them are taught to take on this attitude.
I just listened
to a black preacher the other day say, God don't want you to be proud of yourself.
God don't want you to take pride in yourself. Turn him off. Because that's crazy. You know, I don't do stupid. And Michigan, let me say this. When I say that we need to have, we're not taught that. We're not taught to look in the mirror and be proud of the color of the skin we're in. When I say that, because I am not comfortable in the skin that I'm in, I feel inferior to everyone else. So instead of me going out and being proud and trying to bring other people into where I am, what I do is leave them behind because I want to be the only one there.
Well, have you heard any of the argument? Have you heard of any recent arguments about colorism?
No, not that I know of, unless you're giving another term that I have not paid attention to.
Specifically, I don't want to beat around the bush, Tracy. Specifically, whenever I bring up the concept of having a race-based economic, political, and social consciousness to you on this show
I tell you,
you
no.
try to derail that and say that it's not about race. That is a
not.
Contradiction based
it's
off what
not.
Comes out of your mouth now. That
can,
is.
It's not.
Can I put this out there, Tracy?
That
yeah,
is. Go ahead, South Carolina.
Listen, the problem we have with what you're saying, Michigan, is it, throughout history we've had that same thing happen. Most recently, during World War II, when Hitler tried to do the same thing, okay? The problem with what you're saying is, yes, that was his goal. That
you don't know history, South, and you keep saying the problem that you have is what?
Hold on, Michigan, let him get it out, let him come back.
The man was trying to create a master race, okay? That was his goal. So whenever you try and base they were working off of, they were superior, they were Aryan, they were Germanic, and all of that. Everybody else was subservient to them. That is the goal. And when you approach it like that, the end result is always war, strife, dissension, and somebody's going to be relegated to a lower level.
But South Carolina, he's not saying that though.
But you're not listening to what I'm saying.
Yeah, I never said any of that.
Hold on. Let me say this, and we're gonna switch this in, and because I've got to get to another topic in a few minutes. But I gotta really say this. I don't talk with forked tongue. I'm a realist. I'm not telling anyone to vote for anyone based upon their race, or nor to do business based upon their ethnicity. Neither one. See, I don't think all black people need to do all the same things. But I think we need to take ownership of and take pride in who we are and teach it to our young people so that I can be an African-American and be an American and be proud of both of them, both politically and economically. Right now, we are not monolithic in anything except for our voting. And that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life, because we don't even get along with what color we're going to paint the walls. And when it comes to that, it's not about race, because all of us have our own little tiny dynamics or issues that we want to have pressed forward. So we need to understand that. So it's not about race there. They use race and to keep us locked into one mindset. But when it comes back to responsibility, I have to take responsibility of my own, and my own is greater than just my four walls. My own is my community at large. When I see my young people dying in the streets, when I see my young men uneducated, when I see all of this happening, I need to take ownership of it, because I should not want to see my people who look like me die.
Well, let me ask you this, Tracy. Nigerians that's here in America, they buy their homeowners insurance from Nigerian agents. They buy their grocery from Nigerian stores in America. They go to Nigerian doctors in America. They buy their automobiles from Nigerians that's dealing with auctioneered automobiles. So why come they have a different perspective than what you just got you saying?
Because it works for them. But I'm not Nigerian. I'm American.
Well, they're Americans, too. They're Nigerian Americans.
No. They're Nigerian. No.
No. They got Nigerian.
No,
they got U.S. passports.
Listen, if that's the case, then I shouldn't want to eat at any restaurant unless it's a soul food restaurant or it's black-owned.
Hey,
I am
Tracy.
Not trying to become. No. I should not want to try to become that which I hate. But I ought to have a pride when it comes to what I look like, who I am, that I remember
well,
the people who are around
Nigerian
me.
Well, they don't just eat Nigerian restaurants, but they eat a lot in Nigerian restaurants. I do, too, by the way.
But again, but when's the last time you went to a soul food restaurant?
I don't eat that kind of food.
Why not?
Because it's not healthy.
Who said?
It's food from the slave quarters.
And the slaves...
Say what?
It's food from the slave quarters.
So fried chicken is food from the slave quarters?
Chicken ain't chicken no more. Me and Sticks talk about that all the time.
Well, now, don't get me wrong. We're talking about
fried chicken ain't soul food.
It ain't what is it?
What in the world? Don't you ever in your life or me on the show ever tell me that I'm brainwashed again, okay? If there's anything wrong with me. Because, see, here's the problem. It is called soul food. It's been labeled that way by those people that cook it.
Fried
you
chicken,
tell me that's
soul,
not soul food?
Food? Everybody.
I'm coming to South Carolina and get me some fried chicken then.
No, South Carolina, that's food from the slave quarters. That's a new term for me today.
Fried chicken?
Fried chicken.
But it don't taste like it used to.
So you want to embrace everything that was African except
South
Carolina.
Had
I don't know why you're trying
free.
To. No, you're not muted.
No, you had muted me when he was speaking about creating a master race. Now, it seems like when I say something, it when it goes in your ear, it translates into something else that I didn't say. I never said it. Creating a master race. I never said anything about another group being subservient. None of those words did I use. Now, why did you use them? As if I used them.
You're talking
because
what
the
I'm
mindset.
Saying is this. You said you wanted to create a race-based political ideology. Okay? And I tell you, I've said it before, when you create a race-based political ideology, you are speaking the same things as the Aryans did when they took over took over Germany and preached their whole Aryan ideology. It's the same thing. There is no difference.
That's not
the only
true,
thing,
man.
One
what
is
you,
black.
What, now, that's what I'm saying. Where are you getting your information from? What?
Because listen, when you look, unless
one
we're,
and one
unless,
is not
unless
11.
Unless your definition of a racial, political, and economic base is different than what our definition is.
I don't think you all have one. That's the first thing. A race-based political ideology means that your politics is race first. So what you do inside of politics is for your race. A race-based
economic system. But that's what I'm saying to you. I don't agree with that.
Well, you already have it, Tracy.
He's trying to create a master race. What is he getting that from?
Listen, I can't speak to his comment, but what I can say is I don't agree with that.
Well, that's what your problem is. Everybody else is doing
because
it except you.
We had the fourth senatorial district
this,
here in my
working.
Community. We had the fourth senatorial district
who?
Here. Go ahead. We had the fourth senatorial district here in our district was black for decades. Then it turned white. And when it turned white, the gentleman who the representative would not sit down and talk with anything that blacks want to talk about, including about charter school. He was too busy talking to other people who want to come in and have access to those establishments like taxi cabs, like telephone booths at the time, like school janitorial at the time. Everybody else wanted to have, and also the taxi cabs at the taxi cab stands at the airport.
I'll give you a practical one.
Blacks controlled those, and they was trying to wrestle it from them.
We put in a black police chief. We put in a black police chief in our city, and
okay.
He changed the makeup of the police officers from 90% white to 90% black. Where we took the cars and did the maintenance on the cars, he took that from a white and gave it to a black. The vending machines, he took that from a white and gave it to a black. As soon as he got took out of there, all of that changed back over.
Can
so
I
you
ask
the ones who are not
stop,
doing
stop,
it.
Stop. Hold on. I got a question for you. Now, this is my issue. Did they go there because they were black or did they go there because they were good?
Who that's go there because we had them? We
answer,
had a good fire.
No, no, no.
We had a fire
hold on,
chief
hold on,
here
that's
done the same thing, Tracy.
Hold on, Bianchi. Hold up.
Let me answer that. Let me answer that.
Hold on. I got it because I got to go somewhere with this. I want to know: did they go there because they were black, or did they go there because they were good?
Let me tell you what a race-based consciousness.
No. Answer the question.
I'm getting ready to answer it.
No, man. Answer the question. I got to go to break.
If he was bad, if the black was bad, I'll fire him and get another black.
That's
if that
not what
black
I
is bad,
you.
I'd fire him and get another
that's
black
not,
till I get
listen,
a black
that
woman.
Is not Michigan. Michigan, don't. Michigan, that wasn't the point. I asked you a question. Did you go to him because he was black or did you go to him because he was good?
I don't give a damn why he went.
We went to our black fire chief because he was good at taking those contracts from down in southern Missouri and putting them up with the blacks in the community that live here.
Hold on,
from snow plowing.
Bianchi, listen. We had a guy here who was a statewide elected office holder. He was a treasurer and he was a secretary of state. And in the state of Ohio, there is a 15% set aside for goods and services for minority businesses. His name was Ken Blackwell, and he was a Republican. And he made sure that 38% of those services of his office was African-American, and at least 22% were African-American contracts. When he came up for election for governor, black people said he wasn't good enough because he was Republican. So they put in somebody who made sure that all of what you just said didn't happen. And he didn't put them in there because they were black. He put them in there because they were good. And they were displaced by a Democrat. So my question is, do we put people in because they're of color, or we put people in because they were good?
If you live in a town that's 99% black.
No. This was a state. We had 11%.
Well,
there
see,
is
now
a
you
good
whole
and services
you whole
set aside.
Your whole different thing on the state than you are if you're
a local
elected
official. Listen to what I'm saying. He was already there. We were already doing it. But because he was Republican,
well,
black
to me
people
like
could,
he was good. He was good for
hold
y'all.
On. But because hold on, but because he was Republican, we couldn't get behind him.
Well, you know
not
how
because,
that goes.
No.
Well,
so you want to talk? We want to talk. Hold on, this ain't about a race. This wasn't about a. This is about race-based control.
Stupid of
them. I agree with you, Tracy.
This is what I'm saying. This is race-based control.
We
and
had a young black
is,
Republican here that the major Democrats dissed.
I don't need to be elected because I'm black. I need to be elected because I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do for the people who elect me. Our problem is we follow after a black man because we think it's race-based. So we got Barack Obama in office. And at the end of the day, we're still losing.
That's an emotional the election of Obama was an emotional, very unsophisticated. We know that, Tracy.
But what I'm saying is your race base made sure that happened.
But
no,
you know
no.
Here.
Ignorance.
Here, white voters tell a black politician, if you can't win your own base, why are you coming to us for vote?
So why is it that we don't support our own, even when they're good? I'm not saying
indication.
Vote for people because of the color of their skin, but why is it that I can get more out of a white politician than I can out of a black one?
Well, for the most part, Tracy, the white politicians control the locus of control. The black ones don't. All you have to do is go. A black politician does not have the locus of control in their hands. That's why.
And see, here's another thing too. I've heard white politicians come to us. We ain't got enough time to talk about what one Jeff Smith did. He ended up going to prison. But you have white politicians that come to a 85% black area and say that y'all make up 11% of the state, therefore you should only have 11% of the contracts and services.
But listen to
but
what
black
I'm saying,
politicians
y'all.
Are going to say, no, you deserve 85% of them.
So why are we not doing what's necessary? And so when you talk about race, right now I just need to get in somebody in that's going to do good for my community at large, whether it be education, whether it be economic development, whether it be social issues. I need someone who's going to help me learn how to fish so I no longer need to be on welfare, so I can feed
well,
my family, so abortion is not a part of my community. And right now, when we talk about race-based, everybody that's my color is not my kind. And we are getting screwed royally by a lot of folks that look like us that don't care about us. So how can you have a race-based anything?
I agree with you. But
okay.
You can have a race-based something.
Right.
We had a race-based school district here that made sure that 40% of contracts went to black contractors.
And Tracy, when you say a political and economic and a social consciousness, you're deeper than just a skin color at that point. So what you're saying is you need, when I say you need a race-based political, economic, and social consciousness, we're talking deeper than just the skin color. When you have that consciousness, you don't have those issues that you just brought up.
And
we had a black woman that was
dealing with people. You're giving the definition of people who just happen to have black skin and are politicians, who just happen to have black skin and is a millionaire, who just happen to have black skin and is a doctor.
You had a, we had another instance.
Hold on, because I got to take a break. Go ahead, South Carolina.
I just want to ask this question. In that race-based consciousness, okay, is the type of society you live in, is that a capitalist society, capitalist free market, or is it a progressive socialist society?
Well, it's a capitalist free market, depending on what they're doing.
Yeah, it should be whatever works for you.
Huh?
It can be whatever
works. Let me give you another example. We had a East St. Louis, Illinois. Y'all heard about that. We had one lady on the school board that she would take big contractors, like $3 million or something, and she would break it down so that small black contractors who could get bonded and could handle the work had opportunity to get contracts. Before that, the white ones would take the whole $3 million, put it out there, and the only people who would get it would be white contractors.
Okay.
So that's race consciousness.
That's what I'm asking
them, though.
But let me say this. But listen, this is what, that's not race consciousness. That is just small business development.
Bianchi, small white contractors have an equal shot at the bid?
Absolutely.
There's no white small contractors in the area. It was a black community. And it was local.
If
there would have been a white small business there, he would have had a shot at it, right? Or no, Bianchi?
Yes. Well, yeah, under those pretenses,
it had to be
yes.
black.
No.
Okay, that's the point I'm trying to make.
But you have to understand, specs go out, and I'm going to go back to, I got a guest coming on. Her name is Polly, and she's actually in the queue waiting on us to pull up. But you have to understand, and this is for you six, your white contractors were buying together to squeeze all black competition out.
Well, you
had a controller, but
trade societies that will bind together.
You understand, but it's not about trade society. It was about no black company coming in. So where you would pull up each other, they would pull each other up into their own little nucleus to make sure that the competition of an African-American company would not come in.
So what you're saying is that there is no group of blacks that would do the same thing.
No, because we never get out. We got opportunities.
We never get our feet off the ground. We had a controller here that went to court.
Hold on, Bianchi. We couldn't get bonded. We couldn't get the bank loans. And so when we look at some things that deal with African Americans, we are trying to overcome systemic racism that we haven't been able to build on. So every generation starts off fresh instead of being able to pull up by generations. So you don't find 3 and 4 and 5 generations of African-American contractors that each generation gets better. Every generation has to start over from scratch, not because they weren't good enough, but because they were shut out by the majority. And so what happens is we didn't have opportunity to grow. And since we didn't have opportunity to grow, we're always starting over fresh. And so when you look at quotas and set-asides and people asking for special privileges for people of color, it's because they never give us opportunity to be a part of it. It's like getting into the union. Why don't we have generations of union workers, construction union workers? It's because 10 years, 20 years ago, you wouldn't let anyone in. Now they want everybody in.
In Chicago, they started their own black unions because of just what you said.
And they wouldn't let them, and then they wouldn't let them play in their union.
You had some white contractors that said, why don't you blacks form your own union? Then you would compete against the white union. And that's what they done.
Is it still in operation today?
In Chicago, yes.
Okay. But that's
I understand
that's
all
why
that.
You have those societies.
But you also had the same thing, not as prevalent on the white side, too.
The difference between, no, not even close. Because, see, I don't know you coming. You can see me coming a mile away. You already know that you're not going to hire me.
All right. We better get to our guest.
You follow that?
I understand.
You already see that you're not going to hire me when I first knock on the door and say, I'm looking for a job.
I understand.
They tell me up front, we don't have no work for you.
I tell you my story. I was already in business, getting a loan from a bank called Mercantile Banks. So somebody said, go over there to Boatman and see if you can get a loan. I went to Boatman's Bank, which was known to be a racist bank. And the same information I put on the table of a commercial banker at Mercantile Bank at the time, I put it on the table of the commercial banker at Boatman's, and they said no.
And you can have the best credit, and you could have been the best business. Listen, I'll be right
back. My commercial banker at Mercantile was black.
Well, that's different. He ain't got no power. He just was filling out the paperwork.
No, he did. He had power. Go ahead.
He had power? The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
I'm Mark LaVoie, WSOM News. D&L Energy has filed for bankruptcy protection in Youngstown. The company's president says a group of owners may have improperly diverted funds to other companies that it owns. The majority owner is facing federal charges for ordering that oil field waste be dumped in the Mahoning River watershed. A 25-year-old Warren woman held an intruder at gunpoint early yesterday until police arrived. Shaylin Burton fought off a woman who had forced her way into her home on Idlewild Street Northeast. Shannon Stanley allegedly had threatened to kill Burton and her children, including a 5-year-old boy. And a Republican-dominated Ohio House panel has cleared the state budget on a party-line vote after making changes to restrict what's taught in health education classes. The House Finance and Appropriation Committee voted 20-9 to approve the 2-year budget plan that begins July 1st. A full House vote could come tomorrow. You're up to date. I'm Mark LaVoie, WSOM News.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest.
You still there, Sticks? Slick. South Carolina, you sit there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You know, we had, let's see, I had another incident I was going to, oh, with Internal Revenue.
If I could jump in here, I grew up in the Steubenville area in the 60s and the 70s, and I understand what you're saying about the racism, but down there it was more ethnic. There were Polish and Italian and Slovakians and the Germans, and it was the same there amongst the different ethnic groups, too. An Italian company would never hire a Polish person, and a Polish company would never have hired somebody who was Slovakian. I mean, it was just, I mean, we saw the same sort of thing there. You know, I don't think it's just, you know,
well,
it's
see,
something
Polish
that you
person,
can, I think
Polish
they,
person's skin is white, though.
As a white person, I'm insulted by what you're saying, to be honest.
But it's true.
Really
let me give you another example.
You know,
I'm sure you have
experiential information.
Well,
but
let
I
me give you another example.
It's hard to believe.
Well,
in this
see,
day
that's
and
the difference. That's the difference
the baby
between
boomers that you're going to see that.
That's the difference between you and me, and my 15-year-old grandson would tell you the same thing. So it has nothing to do with Asians. But I had a young man, a young black male that was fending a family. He got a job with a construction company as a laborer, and the IRS was getting ready to put a lien on his paycheck. So we got all the information that they wanted, and we went back to the IRS and met with an agent. This was a white male, and we asked him to take off the issue of garnishing his check the next coming Friday. The white male said he couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. He would not do it. So we said, okay. So we went back the next day and talked to a black woman, and she said, give me a minute. She got up from her desk, went over to a fax machine, and did this, and faxed a letter to his employer and said, do not garnish his check. Mm-hmm. Then she said, bring in the information in next week. So that's the difference between working with black people when you're black than working with white people, especially white males when you're black.
I don't even know what to say to that.
And if he had a guy to garnish it, he wouldn't still be working now where he's making a very good income, being
right,
able to take care of family and so on and so on and so on.
I understand.
So it exists. And until you and here's another thing I had experienced. Talking white doesn't help in either, because I was in working for Bethlehem Steel in Detroit, and I needed a place to stay on a construction site that I was working on. I looked in the newspaper and seen where there's a rooming house for rent. Got on the phone, talked to this white lady. She said, "Oh, sure, come on by and take a look at it." When I got there and knocked on the door and she opened the door and seen I was black, everything changed.
I like I said, I don't even know what to say to that. What they
well,
did
what
was wrong.
Say?
Well, what they did was wrong. I mean, that's just the bottom line.
Yeah, but it's typical.
I guess I don't see that in where I am, in my position.
Well,
here.
You would need somebody to point it out to you. You just go about your own everyday life. But if I tell you
what,
I could point it out.
I guess my next question to you then is, what are you going to do with it? Are you just going
to,
like hold up get all, you know?
No, this is what I try to do. I try to instill black people into do and control their own and stop going to others to beg for things you don't necessarily have to be begging for.
Well, there you go.
If I see, that's why I spend money with people I know that appreciate what I'm doing. And I'm doing it to help empower them. I don't drive 15 miles out of the way to go spend money with a white establishment when I can spend it with a black establishment.
That's perfectly legitimate.
I want to apologize for those of you who listened in who thought we were going to talk about abortion today. We're going to get to some of it today because I've got a guest by the name of Polly, and she is from the Alliance
Ohio Pregnancy Center.
And we're going to talk with her right now. But Clinton Childress was supposed to be with us, and we somehow got our signals crossed and our numbers crossed. So he didn't know where to call, and we didn't know where to go. So we'll try to reschedule him for a different time. Hi, Polly. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me on tonight or today.
Did they entertain you while you were waiting?
Oh, we did. Yes.
Good.
It was excellent
Good.
Conversation. Actually, I thank you for that.
Oh, you're more than welcome. It's a pleasure to have you on. Tell us what your agency actually does.
Well, we are a faith-based nonprofit, and we serve the Greater Alliance area and the community surrounding Alliance. And we provide free pregnancy testing and education. We do ultrasounds. We give prenatal vitamins. We do STD testing and treatment. We also have clothing, diapers, that sort of thing for women who are expecting a baby or who have had a baby. And all of our services are free of charge to the community.
And tell me what you guys teach alternative methods of not having children or having children or
right.
Abstinence. You tell them,
yes,
you know, have your child and we'll help you with it. Am I correct?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We talk about abstinence with the young women as a way, especially when they come in and their tests are negative. We can speak about abstinence as a way to achieve the goals that they may have. And, you know, not being freed up from complicated relationships and be able to really pursue that college education or maybe get their GED or be, you know, move further ahead in their career with their college and that sort of thing. So abstinence gives them the freedom to do that. We don't provide any birth control otherwise. We also refer them to physicians, clinics, that sort of thing, if they need follow-up care or additional care.
So let me ask you this, because in a society like today, you don't hear a whole lot of people talking about abstinence. You know, that's old-fashioned term. What does that mean?
Well, that means that you're abstaining from...
We teach people to just take a pill and just take a pill and a condom and go like rabbits.
Right.
So,
that is true.
How do you bring that subject up today? Because people, are you surprised by the young ladies who really don't know what abstinence is?
You know what surprises me more, and I'm an RN, and I've worked here for 6 years. What surprises me even more is that the young women, they don't even realize that they have the right to say no to sexual activity in a relationship. And that you know, the whole, I'm in my mid-50s, so I remember the feminist movement and the, you know, the sexuality freedom and all of those sorts of things being touted. But what that did is it gave the women feel that they have to have sex with their these young men, and it's very difficult for them, you know, to say, well, that really isn't where I'm at right now. I don't want to get pregnant. I'm not really that into you, you know, but and they're very sexually active with young Polly. Men very early in a relationship.
Oh, yeah, we meet you and think you're cute, and then we go to bed with you. It's,
absolutely, absolutely.
That's how it works now.
Mm-hmm. It does. So when we talk about abstinence, it's do you know you don't have to have sex with your boyfriend? It's like, what? You know, they're very surprised. And it's like, you don't have to. You can have a good relationship with someone without being sexually active with them. And sometimes it's like, wow, I never realized that. And you just get that ta-da moment on their face.
How does that work out for them? Because I found that abstinence makes you alone.
You know, it may be at first that you may be alone. If you know, we give a lot of other type of support, too, for those women. Sometimes they need to come in and talk. My boyfriend broke up with me because I won't sleep with him anymore. It's like, okay, where was the value in your relationship? What did he value in your relationship? And talking with her about that. And, again, focusing on her goals, the things that she'd like to accomplish, that may be easier to accomplish without someone else in her life right now. And, you know, going to college, getting your GED, as I said before, you know, focusing on career, things like that.
No, I've got
I'm not disagreeing with you because I know a lot of young men expect sexually active relationships too. Mm-hmm.
I mean, because when you're talking abstinence and telling girls that they don't have to sleep with their boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
And do you put you said you're faith based.
Yes, ma'am.
And because you're faith based, you know, I stand firm on abstinence based upon my faith.
Right.
And I teach fornication and adultery is, you know, something that should not be named among you. And so with that, that is the reason why we do not have premarital sex.
Correct.
Whereas when you have people who have not had that newborn again experience,
mm-hmm. They
may or may not know how to adapt to that. Because it's kind of hard to stay abstinent without a spiritual guide.
You're right. It is. And really, that's the change.
I'm saying this from experience. It's kind of hard to say, I'm going to be abstinent and not have Jesus in my life. Because without God, I'm sorry, lady, you crazy.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right, and it has to be a heart change. That's the only permanent change that's going to happen is through a relationship with Jesus. On top of that, we also add the dangers of having multiple partners because of STDs. You know, some of them can be fatal. They can cause infertility. They can cause cancer. We just referred a young woman who was in her mid-20s with, you know, in situ cancer from an STD in just the last month or two. So we have a lot of other ammunition from a medical standpoint, if you will, of the, you know, the need and the reason for having responsible sexual relations in a monogamous relationship. So that's where we come from. If you know what, all I can do is be the messenger, and I'm not the person that has to deal with the consequences on the other side. So we give them the information that we can, and we encourage them, and that's basically what we do with it.
Now, how do you just deal with Alliance? Alliance is in what county?
It's in Stark County.
So how do people find you? How do I get there? I mean, you see Planned Parenthood everywhere, but you don't always hear about the Alliance Pregnancy Center.
No,
how do I find out about you?
Well, on an internet search for Alliance, you put in Alliance and pregnancy, you're going to come up with us. We do see the main body of our demographics are in the Alliance area, but we also see people out into Mahoning County. That would be through Salem, Sebring, out into Lisbon, out that way. And also down south of us is Minerva, which is moving into the Carroll County area. So our women, the women come from a large demographic area. There are other pregnancy centers. There's a great pregnancy center in the Youngstown area, and
there is
a small center in Lisbon. So there are some other centers around. And so you just put in pregnancy support center in the town that you're in, and it would bring up support centers, and that's generally what they're called, in your area. So, and we do very similar things. We're not affiliated, but we do very similar things.
South Carolina.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Sticks, I know that you stand firm on this, and you are a supporter of the Alliance
Jeffrey,
Pregnancy
Jeffrey.
Center. South Carolina, the conversation of abstinence and what she's teaching, how do we start teaching young men to start accepting young women who choose to be abstinent?
So that's a hard one.
I know, I wanted to go there because that's like, woo.
Actually, Tracy, it goes back to something that I was taught when I was a young man, and that is you have to respect women, number one. Number two, it's very, very hard without a spiritual grounding. As a matter of fact, it's almost impossible, but it can be done. You know, you got to teach young men that there's more to being a man than seeing how many women or how many girls you can have sex with. So as our society has changed, and we just got to, you know, go back to those quote unquote old fashioned values to keep us from falling off the cliff.
You know, is there any services out there for young men? Because, I mean, I'm looking at this from a secular view, but the peer pressure has to be phenomenal if you've got a girlfriend.
It is.
Because we don't teach our young boys to have respect like that for young ladies when they want to stay abstinent. Do we?
That's true. No, I don't know that is. You know, and in the school, the public school situation and the culture also puts women in that position too, to be, you know, I don't want to say exploited because they're usually pretty willing, but, you know, to be involved sexually with the guy. That's something. Something we do talk to the women about is how much power the woman has, all the power in the relationship that way. And for her, she has the power to say, no, this is not what I want. And, you know, that in the old days, that was how it was. The woman determined when the relationship moved from one level to another level in the physical sense. It wasn't the man that determined that. And to say, you know, this is where your power lays in this relationship, is in this realm. It's like, oh, wow, I never thought about it that way. It's like, yeah, you know, you have an opportunity here. There are some programs for men, going back to your other question. We have a great program in Alliance. It's called Men's Challenge of Alliance. It would be a great someone great to have on your program sometime. They are working with young men. It's mainly an employment program, but they talk to them a lot about being, you know, being the man in the family, being the responsible person in the relationship. But they're working with the young men and helping them get employable skills, because a lot of the young men nowadays are not really employable. They've never held a job. They may not have finished high school. They don't have any skill set. So in this day and age, unless it's like, do you want fries with that hamburger? It's difficult to get a decent job, especially a job that could support a family. But that program's called Men's Challenge of Alliance, and they do a wonderful job with the men. And they're older men who've raised children, working with the younger men, you know, generally in their 20s and early 30s, and teaching them how to be men.
Because when I look at the society right now, they are so unchurched.
Oh, absolutely. Completely
unchurched.
And so
when we're looking at, you know, a lot of us came out of a place that had a Judeo-Christian moral foundation, even if you didn't follow it.
Right.
Today, it's not even brought into the equation.
I
so
agree.
When we actually start talking about abstinence and start talking about male responsibility and you can say no, it just seems so off base from what I see in our society at large, because we are really pushing this promiscuity, you know, as Sticks calls them, prostitutes cycles where
oh, I
no
agree.
One had... No one has respect for anyone, including yourself, and just if it feels good, do it, and you'll be all right after you have a kid, and if you can't take care of the kid, the government will.
Well, what even happened to a dad that went to a son, says she's good enough to sleep with, she's good enough to marry?
No, we don't do that anymore. They don't.
No, we don't do that anymore.
We don't ask them to be married.
No, we don't. No, I agree. It is a problem. I've been here for 6 years. I have fewer answers now than I did when I started. to tell you the truth. It's a very difficult, you know, road to hoe, as they say.
Yeah, I'm looking at this and I'm going, okay, I don't have any children, but I'm looking at what I see and what I hear. Even the television programs that, you know, I was talking a little bit earlier, and I watched a show last night about the matchmakers, and it looked like televised prostitution.
Well, it just boggles my mind when I look at the Alliance paper, the number of birth announcements where the mother and father do not have the same last name.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not asking for you to marry me. Sometimes I'm not even asking you to even commit to taking care of the child that I'm having.
Right.
I don't even ask you if you've got a job before I sleep with you, so that if I accidentally get pregnant, I know that you can take care of me and your child. Yet I still don't use protection.
Absolutely. I agree. You're stating all of the issues that we deal with every single day here in woman after woman after woman. And it's very difficult to help them. You know, we work with each woman in her individual situation. Where are you? What is your faith? You know, do you have a faith base? What does that faith base say about your what you're doing? Is it right or is it wrong? And if they don't have a faith base, we ask if they're interested in learning what what Judeo-Christian values are. And if they say no, it's like, okay, that's fine. We don't push religion down their throat, as they say. But we do talk to them about it. And, you know, there's a reason these guidelines work. They're here because they do work, and they're to protect you. They're to protect your future children, you know, and then your ability to have future healthy relationships. So
what kind of cultural things or social things do you see that's driving this behavior?
Oh, there's the million-dollar question.
Media. Yeah.
Media is probably your biggest thing.
Media.
When Kim Kardashian is, you know, when that is what is, the Kardashians is what are like the heroes for our young women. You walk into some of the stores at the malls and you see the clothing for the small children. I think you said prostitutes. Exactly. Oh, my goodness, the clothing for these girls. It's like, really, this is what you want? This is the values you want your 5- and 6-year-old to be wearing? You know, the clothes say a lot about who a woman is. This is what you want to broadcast? You know, this outfit is what you want to put on your child? I mean, there's a lot of things, but media is definitely the biggest driver, definitely.
Hey, Polly, let me blow your mind for a minute.
Okay.
Did you know that Victoria's Secret had a line called Pink?
You know, I'd heard about it, but of course I haven't seen it. So, but
you
it's for the early, like tweens, they call it.
The tweens, you got to go check out. You got to go check out the tweens.
Oh, do I have to?
Yeah, you're working in the area. You gotta go check out the tweens.
Okay.
You gotta go. Listen, talk about sexy. You gotta go check out the tweens. There's no longer white or pink. You gotta go. They got even like leopard print.
Oh my goodness!
And they got padded bras for tweens.
Oh my goodness! And you know what is really no? Oh, that's like they need that. How about this an undershirt? Oh, this for little girls.
No, they got camis.
Oh,
sexy camis.
Okay.
Go
ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying they're even flat women. They're flat chested, so they just there.
Oh my goodness!
And you're talking about abstinence?
Yeah, I know. You know, that's just terrible. You know, one thing that we have seen here that I wasn't aware of, even with all my years of nursing behind me, that more than half the women that we see here have been sexually assaulted or molested at some point in their life, and then now we're going to market those young women too. That's just so sad. That is a real statement about our society right now and our culture and where we're going.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
When you said about children, young ladies, and you deal with mostly women.
Yes.
About them being sexually assaulted.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's by a family member or a close friend or a stepdad or someone or a mom's boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing in our – pardon me?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying, what are we doing in our society to either have them prosecuted and or start eliminating this? Because it is causing problems, causing early sexual, and this is men and women being raped by men and women.
Yes.
We need to clear that up. Young ladies are being molested by young women.
Yes, that's true too.
By in a very early age. What are we doing in society to deal with that? Because they're becoming sexually promiscuous at a very, very early age based upon that right there.
You're right about that. One of the things we ask is when were these women first sexually active? That's one of the questions. And if they have they give us a very young age, 13, 14, even early 15, you know, 14, almost 15, I will ask, have you been, you know, sexually assaulted or molested? Almost always, yes, I was when I was 4, when I was 5. So that is it's very common. Right now I think awareness is the biggest thing. You know, I think that this whole issue of child sexual assault and molestation, it's the domestic violence, you know, of the 70s and 80s. We didn't talk about it then. It's just he wasn't a nice guy and he beat up his wife, but she was too afraid to talk to anybody about it. I think this is like the issue we need to start talking about as a community and dealing with these things on a community level. With education, with awareness, with prosecution, so that these people are prosecuted to the full extent of the law. Because, you know, they're stealing someone's innocence. They can't be taken back. It is very sad.
Because what happens is they say that people that molest children.
I'm not sure. I don't know what the statistics are on that, so I don't want to make generalizations. There are a lot of people who have been molested and don't act out on anything later. I can't answer, you know, speak to those statistics, I'm afraid.
Okay. It just bothers me because if we keep on making this go silent and, you know, I go out and I start having children and you're talking about pregnancy and I come to you and I don't want to tell on anyone.
Right.
It's just a bad situation. It's very evil.
Yes, it is.
And then when you talk about abstinence, I've already woke up my inner. It's like sex is like a Lay's potato chip. When you start, it's kind of hard to eat just one.
Right.
And we don't teach faith practices. We don't teach Christ. We don't teach, self-reliance. We don't teach any of that. And everything around us says if it feels good, do it. And I really want to know how do we do better.
You know, I've talked to our medical director sometimes after a really bad week when we've had a lot of really bad stories, you know, it seems like we're banging our heads against the wall. I'll speak to the medical director about it. Just help. And he said, Polly, you have to do this. It's one person at a time. We can't go out and change the community with the magic wand. It's one person at a time. We make a change with that person. And then there's a ripple effect from them. And we go to the next person, and we make a change with that person, and there's a ripple effect there. And that's really how we have to look at it, because it's just such a big problem. I mean, just discussing it today is telling someone something. You know, no word goes out void, you know, and I believe that we're sharing this today. And this is how, if you want to make a difference in your family, you need to get your family involved in a church family where there's accountability and there's training. And also you need to talk to your own children, talk to your kids, talk to them about what they're wearing, what they're doing, those sorts of things. So that it, you know, children do listen to their parents. Their eyes might be rolling at the same time, and their shoulders shrugging, but they're listening to you. And people need to be talking to their kids.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah.
With the advent of the government-inspired morning after pill, children don't need these services anymore.
You want to speak to that, Polly, that morning after is now over-the-counter?
That is an outrage to me. It really is. That is available over the counter. That is a high dose, if I remember correctly. I'm talking off my head here, so don't quote me, but that is a very high dose of a hormone that prevents implantation of the egg and prevents ovulation in some women. But that is treating a symptom. That is not treating the disease.
But do we really want? I don't know if they want to treat the disease. I think they like things the way they are.
I'm sure you're. Yeah, you have to wonder if they don't. You know, they're really not addressing the behaviors that got the women in the circumstance in the first place. And my other question is, why do you think that's going to work when all of the education that these women have had, these people have had about using condoms for HIV prevention, for other STD prevention, for pregnancy prevention, when that hasn't worked? When they aren't using...
As an RN, what could consistent use of this, say a girl was using this every Saturday morning, what could it do to her?
Well, it's going to mess up her periods and mess her fertility cycles up. I don't know what the long-term use of that would be. Anytime you're putting a young woman is taking hormones repeatedly, you're messing with her whole hormonal system. And a woman's hormones are very, I say it's like an orchestra, a symphony playing together. All the different hormones, and there's many, many of them, are interacting and creating this beautiful thing that turns in, that is a woman and her ability to bear children and be reproductively, you know, active. And when you're throwing hormones in there at those high levels that frequently, it is going to start to mess things up. And, you know, her cycles are going to be off, her ability, and she's, I really can't tell you any more clearly than that. I'm sorry.
Well, you know,
a physician would be able to address this better.
But, you know, hold on. You know, you guys, we don't realize that we have enough problems. I mean, as a woman, hormones,
yeah.
we already trip, you know, once a month as it is.
That's right.
Let alone starting this. I mean, we have fibroid tumors, and we've got all kinds of things that go on within our system before you start taking the morning after pill. And doing this without the consent of a parent and doing this and no one carding you, asking your age, I think that we're in for a bad situation. Go ahead, South Carolina.
Well, what you got, Tracy, I'm saying, if you're, I'm going to call it what it is, if you're juicing like that, my goodness, you see what happens when males juice up on hormones,
steroids?
Testosterone. Yeah, I mean, what happens is, number one, they lose their testicles. You know, the sperm count goes down, and then a lot of other things later in life, like cancer and anemia and other things, start to occur. But in a woman, you see some abnormalities, and I mean, you know, you're talking about cysts, but you're also talking about breast cancer. The rate of breast cancer has got to skyrocket.
Absolutely.
You know, and Ella and the other morning after pill type things are not intended to be used as a contraception. That is not the use. Not what it was indicated for by the FDA, is repeated use that way.
What's the FDA say it's for?
The FDA said that it is indicated for prevention of pregnancy following unprotected intercourse or suspected contraceptive formula failure, but it is not intended for routine use as a contraceptive. That's what the FDA says. And yet it will be used that way.
Absolutely.
Because it'll be over the
count. Because people use abortion the same way.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, again, as I said earlier, you don't have to have a baby. You never have to get pregnant. In America, unless something is completely wrong with you, you can go a lifetime and never get pregnant.
That's correct.
Well, if it feels good, do it. It's going to be the rule of the day. And another thing that's horrible, there's no age limit to a child going into a drugstore getting these pills.
I know.
This sounds like Margaret Sanger's dream.
Pretty much. Again, it goes to the undesirable, but it's spreading over to everyone, and it's killing off our young people. And I believe it's very, very costly, though. It's not a cheap pill.
You know, they always say follow the money.
It's not a cheap pill. I mean, it's not one pill that you go in there with $5 and get a pill.
Right.
I've got to find out how much it is, but so if you are 16, you're going to have a hard time, unless you've got your own personal stash of money, you're going to have a hard time paying for the day after pill.
I agree.
It's just a thought process of it. And how I can't give a Motrin or a Tylenol to a young lady for cramps.
Mm-hmm.
But she can go into a drugstore and pick up such a high potency of estrogen that will make the egg not fertilize.
Actually, like the Ella is a prostaglandin inhibitor. I'm just pulling up the FDA's data right here. So it actually prevents prostaglandin increasing, which sustains a pregnancy, if I'm correct here.
My co-host Jeff, who is in the chat room, he says, but it costs less than an abortion.
Well, that's true. It's about $55 a dose.
Yeah, but I mean, think about it. That's a pretty expensive pill.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
But it still should not be available because that causes people to steal and everything else. Hey,
okay.
The number is 347-945-5229. And I am talking with Polly. What's your last name?
Givens, G-I-V-E-N-S.
Oh, Polly Givens, and she's from the Alliance Pregnancy Center. And it is a center, it's a faith-based center that talks with young women about the alternatives to pregnancy and to abortion. When they come in there, instead of saying, listen, go have an abortion, they help them. You are, just like Youngstown's, am I correct?
Right.
You're an aid to people who are pregnant to help them through the process,
yes,
who may
yes.
be underserved.
Yes.
Hey,
that is
Tracy,
our primary. Go ahead, Lauren.
Primary?
Yes, that's the main women that we work with.
Okay.
Are the
yeah,
underserved
I just
women.
Sorry, I interrupted you, Polly, but I just looked this up. It says costs vary from $10 to $70 for the morning after pill.
Wow.
From Planned Parenthood.
That's expensive.
$10.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Wait, wait.
That's really scary. I don't know of a single 16-year-old girl that can't come up with $10.
That's true.
Wow. No, you said it goes from $10 to what?
$10 to $70.
So what is the difference between the 10 and the 70? Insurance?
I don't know. It says costs vary from $10 to $70. Well, it's talking about contraception.
And that's not contraception.
No, it says costs vary from $10 to $70. I'm quoting from the Planned Parenthood site.
Why did you go
costs
there?
Vary from $10 to $70 for the morning after pill and $500 to $900 for IUD insertion.
Is IUD insertion, is that covered under insurance?
That would depend upon the insurance plans.
Because they're calling Paragard IUD insertion as emergency contraception.
Hmm? I don't know.
I'm looking at Planned Parenthood.
Quit looking at Planned Parenthood. You could find a better resource than that.
Yeah,
jeez,
but they're
man.
The biggest death dealer in the country.
Doesn't matter.
Well, when you want the expert, you go to the biggest one, don't you?
They're not the expert.
They're on killing infants.
Yeah, but they're not the expert. Go somewhere else.
Oh.
Polly, when at what stage do we come and call you? Do we call you before, during, after, if I'm thinking about having sex, if I've had sex, if I'm scared, if I think I'm pregnant, if I've lost my period? When do I come see you?
Any of those times is fine. We have RNs on staff all the time here at the center, and we even have a nurse midwife that works one day a week that can really that does our STD testing and our treatment for the women that need that. But most of the women come to us when they've missed their periods and they suspect they're pregnant. Many of them may have done a home test, you know, first, and they come in and we'll do a test. We do it, like I said, we do a lot of education, and then we'll do an ultrasound. And we see how far along they are. We look for the heartbeat and how many babies there are. Make sure that the babies are in the uterus. We give prenatal vitamins immediately. Once the test is positive, we'll give the women prenatals so that they can get started on that all-important folic acid as soon as possible. So,
now,
but we talk, you know, I'm sorry?
when you said when... When I come in, you'll test me. You'll have – who pays for all this?
Well,
how do we get this paid for?
Well, that's a great question. We're supported by donations of individuals, churches, businesses that believe in what we do. We don't receive any government money at all. So it's all people just like you and me, the little lady that writes a $5 check every month and combined with a bunch of other little ladies that write checks every month and families that, you know, sacrificially give to us. We do have fundraisers throughout the year to help support the budget of the center, too.
And so if anybody wants to contribute to your cause, do you have a website or somewhere that they can go?
Yes, we do. It's the AlliancePregnancyCenter.com.
Spell Alliance for us, for those people that have no clue how to spell Alliance.
Alliance. PCE. Pregnancy Group?
Pregnancy Center. .org or .com?
Com. C-O-M.
And they can make a contribution right there?
Yeah, there's a PayPal donation site there. Yep.
Okay.
Or they can, you know, contact the center. We've got other information here for them, too.
How do they contact the center?
Well, I can call. Our phone number is 330-821-7283.
One more time.
330-821-7283.
And if I want to volunteer and I'm in that area, do you look for volunteers who will come and who will help work with you and young women?
We are always looking for volunteers, and we have a lot of different opportunities for volunteering. You don't need to be a nurse or a medical professional. We have women, most of our volunteers are women, that work as a receptionist. They do filing. We have a clothing ministry that always needs extra help sorting clothing and making, you know, we have someone who washes clothing for us that needs, you know, little stains or on little outfits from that have been donated. We have people who pack up diapers. So, I mean, we have a lot of opportunity. We need people to teach classes to the women. And we have a program where the women can attend classes. They're mainly life skill type classes, and they earn something called mommy money. And that mommy money is then used to purchase, and I'm using quotes there, to things in our boutique for their babies. And they could outfit a whole layette for their baby without ever spending a dime, just by attending some classes and using their mommy money to get clothing, diapers, and all those sorts of things. So it's a very nice program.
Polly, let's walk this through, because I've got you for a few more minutes before you're more than welcome to stay on with us. But I want to let's walk through this. I come in, and it's my understanding, if your pregnancy center works like the rest of them, you take me all the way through my birth and through neonatal all the way through.
Yes, we do.
To delivery?
We
and
don't.
Actually, after I have my child, you just don't drop me like a bad habit.
Oh, no. We provide services for 2 years after you've had the baby. And then you're welcome to come to classes even after that if you want to.
All the way up until 2 years?
Yes, after the baby's born. So with one pregnancy, it's nearly 3 years that we will follow you, and you can, you know, get services from the center.
Then,
now, we don't do
after,
pre... We do, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, then after the 2 years, do you refer them on to other support groups and things like that?
Yes, we do. Other places that may have assistance with clothing. We make a lot of referrals within the community to other social service agencies, like right off the bat. They're going to, if they need help with food banks, if they need help with housing, if it's a domestic violence situation, counseling, we have referrals that we make. So we do a comprehensive psychosocial assessment when the women come in, as well as a reproductive history. And then those referrals are made, and, you know, when the girls come back, did you follow through with the referral? Do you need help with that? Now, we don't do prenatal care here, and we don't have a doctor who delivers babies. We do the initial work for the girls and help them access insurance and that sort of thing, and then they'll go to a private health care practitioner for the actual prenatal care and delivery of the baby.
Now, I can't remember. Do you have an ultrasound machine?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We've been doing ultrasounds for about 5 years. And we do that initial ultrasound, you know, to help them figure out what dates, how many babies, that sort of thing.
And at what point does the child first show up, and does that tend to change young ladies' minds about what they're going to do?
You know, it does. They've done some research, and women who are abortion-minded, or we call abortion vulnerable, there's something in her life that would, like, be someone or something in her life that would be encouraging her to have an abortion, but she really doesn't want an abortion. But the ultrasound just makes such a difference. When they see that baby and they can see that heartbeat, and we can see a heartbeat at 5 weeks and 6 days. We can, you know, gestation, we have a heartbeat. 8 weeks, we can usually see some movement, the baby moving a little bit. Of course, she can't feel it yet, but we see baby moving around. By 10 weeks, we've got arms and legs, and the baby's bouncing all over the place. 13 weeks, they're sucking their thumbs. I mean, it's pretty amazing. And when you show the women that their baby for the first time, something just lights up in them. We like to have the father of the baby there, too, so that he can share that experience and see his son or daughter, you know, even that early, and help him to start bonding with that baby a little bit also.
I'm stuttering here.
Okay.
Someone just sent over to me, and there is a publication called 502. It's a medical and dental expenses, and they're including the health coverage tax credit. Did you guys know abortion was includable in that?
I'm sorry, what is it called?
Abortion. You can include
that. No, I knew that. What was the 502 health credit?
502. It's a medical and dental expenses. And they are including the health coverage tax credit.
Oh, I had no idea. That's just...
I did not know abortion was a part of that.
Oh, my goodness.
Do we really understand what's going on here? This is not wise.
It says, right, wow, that's unbelievable.
I had no idea.
No, I didn't either.
I had no idea either.
But you could deduct the cost of your abortion from your taxes. Wow.
Do we really understand? What does it say to our young people? I mean, when do we actually, you talked about abstinence, and that's the best form of prevention.
It works every time. It's 100%.
It does.
Never fails.
No, it doesn't let you down. Yeah.
And I don't know how, and we have a godless society. We're trying to erase the moral fabric of that we had away from the American public completely. We have a society of entitlement mentality. How do we progress and move forward and create productivity inside of this?
That, again, that's like the million-dollar question. Pray for revival for our nation. That is one thing we must do as Christians. We have to just lift this whole country up. It's 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people will humble themselves and seek my face, I will hear their cry.
Turn from their wicked ways.
Mm-hmm. And turn from their wicked ways. I mean, and that's what we need to be praying as Christians for our nation.
Polly, will you describe for Tracy that scroll that you had at the Pregnancy Center dinner? I can't remember the stats on it, but since you made it, I'm sure you can remember how wide and how many sets of feet were on it.
Mm-hmm. We had our annual banquet was in early March, and for the banquet, I had made a scroll that had a set of feet of from a, I think it's 14-week fetus, like a set of footprints for every baby that had been aborted in the year 2010, and that was the most current statistics we had at the time. You know, statistics are always a few years behind the actual date as they get compiled and then published by the Department of Health in Ohio. And there was over 23,000 small feet on this scroll. And the scroll was, I believe, 240 feet long. And it reached from one side of the gymnasium to the other. It was huge. It was really impressive, though, wasn't it, Lloyd, to actually see those? I mean, it was overwhelming, wasn't it?
Yes.
To see it unrolled.
It was very overwhelming.
It really was. You know, sometimes you need to put a picture. A number is just a number, but when you see that many, you know, it's kind of like our national debt. You really can't picture how big it is. But when you see that many feet on a scroll, and it's like, oh my goodness, all of those kids aren't here, and that's just one year in Ohio. It was amazing, in a bad way.
Yeah. Now, Polly, Tracy and I were having an argument earlier.
Oh, okay.
A GYN doctor told her that at one of the local hospitals here.
No, he didn't say local. I didn't say nothing about that.
Okay, he said.
I didn't say anything. He said any hospital.
Tell her what you told me.
Any hospital, when a child comes out and it's less than 23, I think 22 or 23 weeks, it is considered non-viable. And they're all left
and nothing, there's no resuscitation, there's no incubator time, there's none of that. And you that know, is the protocol.
Even if they're breathing.
Even if they're breathing.
I don't work in the hospital.
They're considered non-viable.
Oh. I don't know. You know, we had that incident at a hospital I worked at before where and there was a Catholic hospital, and they were every baby is treated, you know, if it's breathing, it's wrapped in a warm blanket, it's put in an incubator. Not all babies are viable when they're born, you know, because they are so early. But that
right.
baby is always treated with respect, kept warm, you know, and they may not do active
okay.
resuscitation technique,
you know,
on the baby.
But there's no active activity.
Right. They may
there's
not
no
do
active
a lot
activity
of,
to help them continue on.
Right.
I mean,
right.
do they withhold food from them until they expire? Or,
oh, no,
or?
No. It isn't. It isn't like that. In my experience, and I can only speak, I worked at one
so,
facility.
So,
you know, that,
so if a baby at 21 weeks is born, it is wrapped in a warm blanket, it's put in an incubator, it's fed with an eyedropper, if it can digest food or not.
You know, if it's going to stay, if it lives, they're going to do something.
It
I would
lives.
Think they would do something.
But they put it, most of them put
most
it
of
to,
the,
from my understanding, they put it to the side now.
Oh, okay.
Because they just don't have the resources.
You know, and that doctor is more up to date on things than I am. It's been a while
you
since
are,
I worked in OB, so.
Because 9 times out of 10, that child was done through a C-section.
Yeah.
Or spontaneous. Or
spontaneous
yeah.
is not viable. That's
okay.
different.
Okay.
Am I correct, Pauline?
Well, some women deliver their babies early. You know, they go
yeah.
into labor and you can't get it stopped, and the baby is born early. And it's up to the doctor, the OB has to make that call. And is this baby, how many weeks is it, and is the baby viable yet or not? Again,
yeah,
I haven't worked in OB for a long time. That gynecologist would know better than I would. It's very expensive to care for a newborn with that many needs.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
And remember, a lot of things. I mean, it's just amazing when you hear cutting costs. I mean,
I know.
You have no idea.
You know, I've heard
some
things, though. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you, what goes on and what we hear are two different things when it comes to all
right.
of our medical care.
Right. Oh, I understand that. I mean, I just read a report the other day that they said 30% of elderly in England. Are just put on what they call the I can't remember the name of it, but they just say, you know, you're so old, we're not going to pay for nothing
more. But that's there. This is what we're talking about here.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I was having a conversation here earlier with a lady about just medical issues with her husband, mm-hmm. and what happens, how they treat people when they don't have the resources, because remember, not everybody's poor, and unless you're indigent. You don't always have the resources
right.
through your insurance.
Right. Well, we've talked about this with public health care. The rich are going to be taken care of, the poor are going to be taken care of, and the people in the middle are going to lose everything.
We're talking about right now before we even get to public health
care. Oh, we've already got it, though.
We don't have it.
Yes, we do.
No. It's nothing like
that. I'm going to tell you right now, Medicaid people go to the doctor way more than we do.
Well, that's not what I'm talking about.
What are you talking about?
We're talking about, at one time, if I was married to you, you would be covered under my insurance.
Still that way.
Not always that way without me paying through the nose, because you wouldn't want me on your – I have a diagnosed MS. You would have a hard time paying for my insurance and us living too. And so you –
But if I'm employed, are you talking about me being employed unemployed?
I'm unemployed because I can't work.
But as long as I've never broken insurance coverage, you're covered under my insurance by state by law.
But until you can't afford paying for it.
I don't have to pay for it. My employer pays for it.
Not anymore. They don't always take you anymore. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
They have to take you.
No, they don't.
Has that been changed under the Obamacare law?
I don't know how it changed, but all I know is they have to take me if I want to pay for the supplement. But they take me, but not you. They don't have to take your spouse anymore. Like, not like it used to be. It used to be if you got married, you had a family, everything was taken care of. Not anymore. You got to pay for the supplement of having your children and your spouse.
Well, with our private insurance, my wife's employer's insurance, there is a different cost for a single person than there is for a family person.
Right, and does it go up based upon what's going on with your wife,
you? My wife's the primary. You're confusing me.
Okay.
I'm married.
One more time, real slow, because okay. I'm not real bright.
Okay, slow down. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I'm married to you.
Right.
You are the one that are working with insurance.
Right.
I was diagnosed with MS. I was not on your policy.
Right.
You marry me. Your insurance, they may cover me, but you have to pay the supplemental insurance for me to be on your rider.
I don't know if you marry, what the deal is if you marry
you
someone. I've been married for 30 years, so I can't answer that. I don't know how it works.
That's what I'm saying, because I used to think that, you know, if you work for a company, everybody was covered and you didn't have to worry about it.
I do know if you got a baby on the way and you join the military, they'll pay for it.
That's something different. that's something different. Hey, Polly, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
You are so welcome. Yes, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
And you're more than welcome to come on and hang out with us anytime. I'm going to take my break, and you can stay if you like. I've got to go pay some bills. We'll see you on the other side. The number is 347-945-5229. Polly is from the Alliance Pregnancy Center. And, Polly, give the number out one more time, please.
330-821-7283.
And we'll see
and
you
that's
on
the other side.
That's
in Alliance, Ohio. Okay.
In Alliance, Ohio. We got to come. I've not been to Alliance in years.
It's a
we
nice
gotta go
town.
Down there.
It's a very nice town.
You're more than welcome to stay, but I got to go take a break. I'll be right back.
Thank you.
We were with Julian into trouble on their way to daycare. We were with the Nelsons to help them plan their vacation of a lifetime. We were with Paul when he needed affordable car insurance from someone he knows and trusts.
And we'll be there with you.
Who are we? We're AAA. If you're already a member, renew. Not a member? Join and save $10 on a new membership through May 31st at AAA.com or stop by any nearby office. AAA, we're always with you.
What's happening today at WeatherTight?
WeatherTight. Marianne, you know the temperature is going to be right where WeatherTight likes it, and we're doing some great, great installs today. We install in all types of weather, too. And we do it all for you at WeatherTight with our new WeatherTight windows, siding, roofing, kitchen, cabinet refacing, entry and patio doors, and financing available for every budget. Right now, all WeatherTight is spring savings special at 25% off. That's 25% off on anything you get from WeatherTight windows. And eligible for the energy tax credit because they're all Energy Star approved. Senior military discounts, all products made in the USA, and we're so sure that you'll fall in love with WeatherTight. If you only need one window, that's what we'll do for you and protect the prices on the remaining windows in your house for up to 4 years. 26 years of satisfying thousands of customers, so pick up the phone and call 1-800-821-8483. That's 821-8483. And like always, guys, whether it be one window or a house full, Mrs. Mervin, the WeatherTight family guarantee you'll be satisfied with WeatherTight replacement windows for the life of your house.
The world is changing, and radio is changing with it. Now with iHeartRadio, this station, and over 1,500 of the best stations play right on your mobile device. Download iHeartRadio free wherever you download apps, or get started at iHeartRadio.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Fit family, unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com. Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. but there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassTech.com.
This time, it's personal. The local talk show that keeps you thinking about local, regional, national, and global issues. Let's get back to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I want to thank Polly from the Alliance Pregnancy Center for calling in and talking with us today. It's amazing what's out there, and when you really start looking into things, it really will just blow your mind. Sticks and I, we were talking about insurance, and but the lady was telling me this morning, and I was really amazed by, you know, how people quit their jobs so that they can actually take care of their loved ones, especially when they have chronic conditions, because they can't afford to do it, even with insurance, and so it's easier for them to
go on the system.
The system, well, yeah, pretty much. It's easier to be indigent.
But the problem is, if you're not indigent, how do you get to be indigent?
You have to become indigent. The system works for indigents. It doesn't work for people who are productive.
Absolutely.
And that's a problem that America has, which makes America lazy.
I've told this story a million times. The early 1980s, my dad lost his job. My mom asked for food stamps for 30 days. They told her, sell the farm off an acre at a time. When you run out of farm, we'll give you help.
And that's just ongoing.
It's foolishness, though.
But then that goes back to what I said about single women and people and people not getting pregnant and not having children. They tell people that don't have children the same thing. You realize it, right?
Right.
And
a single male isn't getting any public assistance.
He's not getting any help at all.
Don't let him starve in the streets.
So why is that?
Why is it?
Yes. Why is it that our unemployment will help me, but and it will not meet my needs?
I blame it on government not being able to have a brain where private charity can.
South Carolina, your mic is on, and so is 314.
A private charity can look at somebody who's asking for help and look at what they're doing and see if they're actually looking for a handout or a hand up.
I have a problem, and it's not a cut and dry, but I got problem because people need assistance from time to time, and we're not willing to give them assistance so that they don't have to go down so far.
Well, the problem with government assistance is it always becomes the same as a zero tolerance policy in a school. We've got a set of rules here. We have to follow this set of rules, and we can't deviate from the rules in any way.
Well, then it's not fair.
What do you mean it's not fair? What's your definition of fair?
It's not fair.
My definition of fair is if you've got an alcoholic that's going to AA and trying to clean his life up, and you give him assistance, but you don't give one that is in the bar every night, that's my definition of fair.
But see, when
the one that's going to the bar every night doesn't deserve any assistance.
The question is, why am I going to the bar? And we need to quit pointing our fingers at alcoholics and people on drugs. The question is why.
Overeaters. I mean, I can go through any litany. Overspenders, overeaters. I mean, we're one addicted society.
But
almost everybody in this country is addicted to something.
But the question is why. The question is why am I addicted? And why am I drinking?
Well,
we've lost our.
Well, Tracy, that's an easy question to answer. If you really want to answer it.
I'm listening.
If you ask the abuser, they'll tell you. if they're honest with themselves. But a lot of times they don't want to be honest with themselves. If you ask the abuser, because if you got somebody that's abusing a substance, okay, the first thing they've got to understand is, you know, that they're powerless over what they're doing. And this goes into a whole different thing about the mental state of a drug abuser. But, you know, then they get to the point to where they can't get out.
No. You gotta understand. Let me put it to you this way.
What happens, though, Tracy, is then when you put them on a government assistance program, you become an enabler. You become kind of somewhat of the government becomes a codependent.
But this is my issue. We've got people who are trying to climb and trying to do the right thing, and we want them to be addicted to something because we don't want them to be independent. And the system feeds on dependence. It absolutely feeds on dependence so that I can never become better than what I am. Am I wrong?
That's what I mean. You become an enabler.
And the reason why I'm drinking is because everything that I've ever tried to become, you've always killed me as I was trying to become it. You never gave me opportunity. And no one in America is allowed to make mistakes anymore.
Never have been.
No.
I sent you a Merle Haggard song from the 60s called Branded Man.
Okay.
And it's a song about an ex-convict. And he says, I'd like to hold my head up and be proud of who I am, but they won't let my secret go untold.
Okay.
It's been going on in this country for as long. As soon as the government had the ability of mass communication where a man couldn't commit a crime, serve his time, leave town, go to another town, and start a new life, it began. And that's the problem with us as human beings, is we won't let bygones be bygones. You paid your debt to society. Now go have a nice, go live your life and don't screw up again.
We do for some, we don't do for all.
We do for all.
No, we do for some.
A black ex-con lives under the same rules a white ex-con does.
Oh, that's not true. That's not true. The number
they,
is, no.
They
no,
might
no,
not.
No,
they, it might not be socially, but as far as the legal, a white ex-con can't drive a truck, a black ex-con can't drive a truck.
No,
a white ex-con can't cut hair, a black ex-con can't cut hair.
No, South Carolina, help me out with this.
Well, according to the letter of the law, he is absolutely correct. However.
Uh-huh. Okay,
however,
there you go. However.
In society... There are some problem districts.
I'm not saying that, but that was the point I was trying to make. The letter of the law, the same occupations that are denied to all convicts. The opportunities for the ones that are permitted are not equally given.
Listen.
Right.
The difference between one and the other, the letter of the law. The letter of the law will be overwritten and or succumbed by the process based upon who you know and what you know.
So if you lie on your application for a CDL and you're a white guy, you're going to get away with it, and if you're a black guy, you won't.
No, I don't have to lie because someone's going to help me get it expunged. Or because the law says that I can't get my conviction expunged if I have more than one infraction.
One or more priors, right.
So if I have a disorderly conduct that comes because I was profiled in your neighborhood one night, and I asked the cop, you know, what was he says, well, you're being disrespectful, and he writes me up. And I had another one just based upon doing nothing else, and say, I did one and I didn't do the other. I still can't get that expunged. So I can have as many degrees as Fahrenheit. I still will not be able to overcome what I've gone through.
Now, Tracy, that does occur. I've got some friends like that are white now. You know, and it's all because of their redneck attitude that they got it. But, you know.
And Jeff actually says, he says a white ex-con will get a chance to cover his record while no one is willing to give a black ex-con a chance. Because even if we're going for a job, that middle line that you have to check if you've committed a felony is a powerful middle line.
I'm sure it is.
And it's even more powerful for a black middle line.
I'm not arguing that point.
Now, and so it's not the
Tracy,
same.
For us, in the field.
And then
I
may not give him a chance. Would you say, Sal?
For us, it's a situation where it's a 10-year limit. Have you committed a felony in the last 10 years? If it's been more than 10 years, then we don't even consider it anymore.
Really?
Now, if you're outside of 10 years in a nonviolent felony in South Carolina, can you buy a firearm?
No.
No.
Now, does South Carolina stop our ex-convicts or ex-felons in South Carolina permitted to vote?
Yes. In South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Yeah. There's a stipulation, and I'm not quite sure on that.
Well, Ohio, if you walk and you vote.
About...
In Ohio, if you walk, you vote. You can be on parole. You can be indicted. You can be early released. If you're walking, you're voting. Do you think that ex-cons should be able to vote?
If they've served their time, absolutely. They've paid their debt.
So let me ask this. Do you think ex-cons should be able to own a firearm?
If it's a nonviolent offense and it's over 10 years and they've never had another, and if they've never had another violation, yes.
Well, Tracy, ex-cons can own guns. They cannot be felons.
Well, most ex-cons are felons.
I know plenty of guys that own guns. Well, I'm saying not all ex-cons are felons.
Most of them are.
No, not most of them. Tracy, you can go down here. You get picked up for public drunk. You're going to spend 30 days out on the farm. You got a record.
That ain't an ex-con, because, see, in Ohio, we can't hold on to your own thing too long because we need your bed for other people. You know, like, I'm serious. I mean, beds cost money in Ohio. I don't know about South Carolina, but, you know, there's a rent fee.
Well,
I mean, one day we got to have a show and talk about people who go to jail for non-payment of child support when the day that you don't go to work is the day you don't have a job anymore. So how are you going to pay your child support if you're not working?
Oh, man. Yep. Yep. That was a while from there.
I get confused by that. We pick them up and tell them, you know, we're going to put you in jail for 30 days. But if you don't go to work for 30 days, you don't have a job, so how do you come out and pay?
Like I said, the insanity amazes me, too. I mean, we did the same thing in the service. A guy get behind on his bills, so we take him to captain's mess, bust him and fine him, and so he made less money and took money away from him and expect him to pay his bills.
We would get him for conduct unbecoming of a Marine. And take his money, restrict him to the base. And this guy was delivering pizza on the side. He was making more money delivering pizza than he was taking home from the Marine Corps. But once he was restricted to the base, he lost his car, everything else. So it was a steamroll effect. So it's crazy.
Yeah, so instead of giving these young people some financial counseling and helping them get out of their hole and working with somebody like consumer credit counseling, we're going to ruin their entire life. Makes a whole lot of sense.
That's what I'm trying to tell you about insurance. That's what I'm trying to say about the whole ball of wax. All of it's crazy.
Well, we're not in disagreement on any of that.
All of it's crazy. Yes, Chicago, your mic's on.
Just wanted to make I know it's going to change subject a little bit, but... You see the billionaire that owns the Carnival Cruise. He doesn't even want to...
Owns what?
The billionaire that owns the Carnival Cruise Line. he doesn't even want to reimburse the government $750,000 to pull his cruise liner back to shore. It shows you the entitlement that these people have.
They don't have to do it.
I don't think it's a billionaire owner. I think it has a little bit more to do with the CEO.
Well, yeah, they're not. I don't believe any ship owner is required to reimburse the Coast Guard for a tow.
But this is the problem.
Whether you got a dinghy,
listen,
or whether you got a cruise ship,
the ship owner didn't want to reimburse anybody, not even the people that are on the ship.
Now wait a minute, give him a free cruise and $500 and a free flight home.
Do you think that was enough? Because
Yeah.
Do you really think that's enough?
Yeah, I think that was more than enough compensation. I mean, you give them $500. It's not like they were out at sea and they didn't get anything to eat. You know.
No. They could not. No. South Carolina. They couldn't potty. Potty would see.
They couldn't potty.
Remember, they couldn't potty.
Listen. You're listening.
Definitely
terrible. I don't know. I don't know how much. I don't know how those things are plumbed.
They told me that they couldn't potty.
But they. Yeah, I don't know.
They use a kind of a pressurized suction vacuum system. And
oh,
what
it ain't
does
just gravity
is
and seawater.
Yeah. Well, you have water in the bowl, and then you open up the valve, and the water goes out, and everything in the bowl goes out, and it's suctioned out to someplace on the ship.
Okay.
So the system's constantly on the vacuum. So I mean, I guess if they didn't have power, they couldn't run the vacuum to suck the system out. I guess I don't know.
Yeah,
Every ship I was ever on, it was all gravity. You put water in the bowl and you opened the bowl valve and the water went down in the tank.
See, these guys couldn't potty.
Yeah.
The potties didn't work. 5 days without a potty is a bad potty mess.
Do you know why they call the front of the ship or why they call the head the head?
No.
Because that's where you get to do your business off the side of the ship head.
I'll see you guys tomorrow. Mark Mann, Janelle will be here tomorrow. We're going to talk a little bit about everything tomorrow. We got a lot to talk about. We got to talk about what's going on in the White House, what's going on in Boston, what's going on in the local area here, and what's going to be happening this upcoming week. And we'll see you guys on tomorrow. God bless you and have a good day.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on News Talk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Deadly bombings at the Boston Marathon. Authorities have made major progress in the case. More from ABC's Aaron Katursky in Boston.
Officials here in Massachusetts tell us that authorities who are working this case are close to identifying a suspect, but any reports about an arrest, the FBI says, are premature.
ABC News Chief Investigative Correspondent Brian Ross says the FBI closed in on the suspect by comparing video.
Thousands, tons of videos came in, according to FBI agents, and they have been going over them frame by frame, trying to figure out where did certain devices that appear to be the bombs, when did they first show up, and that is how they backtracked it at this point.
President Obama heading to Boston tomorrow. The White House says he will take a message of resolve to the people there. The FBI is looking into the origin of a suspicious letter addressed to President Obama. White House spokesman Jay Carney says it contained a suspicious substance.